This week, Valve releases a statement about its role in the CSGO gambling controversy, denying any benefit and describing its impending involvement. This is just one of many reveals in this week's gaming news. Join us for all the details, your comments, and more right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, July the 17th of 2016, with episode number 650 of our show. A nice round number there. Welcome, and thank you for your support, whether it's been for 650 weeks or if this is your very first week listening to Orange Lounge Radio, all about video games, gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle, the place where every gamer has a voice. And joining you in studio are three of those voices: myself, Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E, and joining me as she does just about every week on this program, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm a little high.
You had surgery this week, right?
Yeah, I just took my Norco.
Actually kind of surprised you're here, to be honest. I kind of figured you wouldn't be here after having that surgery, but she didn't have like her organs taken out or anything. It was
I had something taken out.
Well, it was on your hand, so it wasn't totally invasive.
I had a ganglion cyst removed from my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. Go look it the fuck up. That's what Google's for.
If you can spell it, good luck.
Ganglion. G-A-N-G-L-I-O-N.
Push the Siri button and then rewind the episode.
Right, or whatever. But the thing is that since I'm right-handed, I keep forgetting about a lot of stuff and reaching for stuff with my right hand or doing things. So I'm like, fuck, that hurts.
Not very good for gaming either, I bet.
I've actually been playing a lot of Sims, but we'll go into that later.
Sure, sure.
I'm just worried about what it's going to be like when I have to use a regular mouse.
Well, I remember when there was a good 6 month period where you were having some serious wrist problems, and when we would go to your gaming week, you'd be like, "Shrug, too hard to play anything because of my wrist."
Well, it has to do the same thing, the ganglion cyst. Right around about 2006, it got so bad I would do everything on keyboard commands. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't hold a controller. Mm-hmm. And finally, they changed my mouse at work to a thumb trackball, which they don't make that mouse anymore.
What?
It's this like Microsoft thumb trackball. And like, seriously, if you find people selling it, I bought mine for $14. Mm-hmm. People are selling them for like $100, $200 because you can't get them anymore.
I'm surprised if people still have a need for them, they don't make them.
And Logitech had one similar, but I don't think they make theirs anymore.
Huh.
So it's really annoying. And of course, work won't let me bring mine.
Weird.
I guess some liability thing. Yeah, but probably. Anyway, so now, but having used a regular mouse for 2 years, the cyst has started to grow again. So finally, I'm like, just screw it. Cut it out. And the doctor's like, well, it's not cancerous if you've had it for this long. So let's just get rid of it. So now I'm like, ow. So Norco. I love Norco.
So
it makes me not give a fuck.
We do. So Dark Soccer tonight will not be giving any fucks. But, I mean, you usually don't.
No, I might give a fuck here or there.
Uh-huh.
But today, like...
You might have fuck to spare.
I'm not giving fucks. I'm taking them.
Once in a while, I might say Mass Effect, and you might be like, oh, I have a fuck for that. Yes, I do.
I do have a fuck.
I have one fuck to spend on Mass Effect news.
And you know what I have, though, that makes life wonderful?
Uh-huh.
Cinnabon Delights.
Which I've never had one. I want to try one.
Girl,
later.
Eat one. All right, like,
well,
right now.
I got to introduce our chat room, and of course, our third host here in studio, but our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. And some comments on Dark Soccer being on pain meds. Breakman is starting to sing that song because Dark Soccer got high. I guess changing the lyrics there a little bit. I was going to play Pokemon Go, but then I got high. Actually, you probably would play Pokemon. Anyway, Rageinator says, how high, Dark Sakura? Like listening to Cypress Hill high?
No. And
are you insane in the membrane?
You know what's funny is I'm allergic to
Cypress Hill?
To pot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm allergic to the smoke. Mm-hmm. I've eaten it before, but I'm allergic to the smoke.
Dark Sakura was going to host the show.
But then I took Norco.
Brad from Pod Culture suggests you are on Fuck It All. Perhaps. Anyway, not drugged tonight. Say hello to our third host here in studio. It's Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. You are not powered by Norco. You are powered by hamburgers.
Yeah.
Fair statement. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I feel that I should have either stopped for a Slurpee or milkshake, being that I wasn't in and out, so I should have got a milkshake.
Oh, let's talk about Slurpees for a minute. Because last night, okay, so we were in Old Sac playing Pokemon Go until 1 a.m. Don't you fucking judge me. We were out playing Pokemon Go until like 1 a.m. in Old Sac. There's tons of people around because there's bars down there that are open until 2. So, I mean, it's pretty safe. So we left, and I was like, you know what? I kind of like Fatty wants a McFlurry, right? I wanted to go get it. But McDonald's conveniently closes at 1 a.m. So I was like, damn it. Now I have you have that taste for sugar. It's like, I got to get something. And then I remembered, 7-Eleven will have Slurpees. So, and imagine my surprise and excitement when I saw that they have a new special flavor right now, birthday cake Slurpee.
Yeah, my son got that. And I'm like, no.
It's kind of like, it is kind of a train wreck of a flavor. But
it's basically like birthday cake soda, but frozen. And it's just, that just sounds terrible.
But that's like my favorite yogurt is like birthday cake yogurt. Which is so weird.
I'll just stick to like the cherry or the blue raspberry.
Whatever. Yeah, you're a traditional kind of guy.
Exactly.
So,
or cola.
Speaking of your son, I saw your wife posting photos on Facebook that I guess you are teaching your son how to play Pokemon Go or something. You got your son on the tablet.
He's interested in it. And my coworker, she gave me like an old prepaid phone that she had that she's not using anymore because she got a nicer Samsung phone. So it doesn't run Pokemon Go, or at least it's not supposed to, but then I rooted it and got it to run, so it is running on there, and he's able to play it, and he's enjoying it, but she hates the idea of him playing it, because she thinks he's in front of the screen too much as it is. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, yeah, he plays video games for like 3 hours on the weekends, because that's when we're really tired, and my other son goes to sleep, and we're just like, we don't want to fucking deal with you right now, just go... in your room and
just do something.
Play the Wii U for until that battery runs dead. And that's what he does. He plays it until the battery runs dead, and then he brings the, you know, the tablet back and starts bothering me.
You know, that's kind of how I started when I was 5 years old. It was just like, I'll just go play on the Commodore 64 until I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. So
yeah, so he'll start off, like he started off with like Minecraft today, and then I think he played probably some Smash Brothers, and then he watched YouTube videos. So he's, you know, he'll watch the Diamond Mine Heart and stuff like that.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's cool. But yeah, at least Pokemon Go kind of gets you out.
Yeah,
in the real
world. He liked it. I mean, he had fun with it. He got very excited about it. I told him, like, listen, this is not an everyday thing. This is sometimes. We're not bringing it to the park every single time, mm-hmm. Because you don't play on the playground when you have this. You just, you know, stare at the screen. So you're not going to do this all the time, but this will be like a treat.
Yeah, this is when you get an A. Well, I guess he's not old enough to get A's yet. Because in kindergarten, everybody gets good grades, right? They don't really grade you.
Yeah.
All right. let's see. Going to the chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I did not realize what a freaking response birthday cake Slurpee was. I got like a full page of birthday cake Slurpee comments in our chat. JD is like, birthday cake Slurpee, I need this. I'm assuming since it's some type of free advert. Look at this. They didn't pay me to even pitch this. Now
they had their free Slurpee day, but I totally avoided that place, you know, on the day.
I'm pretty sure every 7-Eleven has it right now. So, and 7-Eleven's on the West
Coast.
They also
have, was it that tart? They have like a sour one too, like a
Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids.
I found something I like better than Slurpees.
What's that?
Again, at Taco Bell. They have the Orange Crush cream.
Oh, that sounds really
slushy
good.
Thing. This thing.
When are they going to get horchata at Taco Bell? Actually, I shouldn't ask that because if you're going to get horchata, you got to go to one of those hole in the wall joints. Like,
I know,
Taco Bell is not Mexican food. Taco Bell is Taco Bell.
But this makes me, it makes me happy, but it's like immediate, like, brain freeze.
Yeah, no.
So eat one of these things.
I hear you.
Do it.
Let's see. Also, Stoppy says, don't get birthday cake Pop-Tarts. They suck. I didn't realize that was a thing. I had red velvet cupcake Pop-Tarts. They were pretty good. I even sent some to Syl, who is occasionally on the Geek Card show. I sent her in a box of treats last year, the year before. I sent her some red velvet Pop-Tarts, and I think she enjoyed those. Let's see. SS200 Matt says birthday cake flavoring so people can have a birthday every day. And Breakman says, LOL, the Wii U is parenting Loki's kids, but follows that up with, whoa, 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 Loki tells his kids no. How dare he be a good parent? those comments again in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com.
It's because he requests shit way too much. He doesn't know how to, like, save up for that, you know, thing that he really wants. It's like, I can tell when he's looking to bother me about something. It's like, you know what? I wish I had a blah, blah, blah. No, thank you. I wish I had, like, a Slurpee. Can we go get a Slurpee? We should have a Slurpee. I told my friends that I'm getting a Slurpee today, and if we don't get a Slurpee, I'm lying to them. He uses that on me a lot. I'm like, that's too clever. Bad. That's not my fault.
That's clever.
You know, and he gets really upset about it, too. I'm like, sorry, no.
Here's the lesson I learned. You need to tell him this little saying. Tell him this comes from Uncle Rob. You ready? Don't write checks. Your ass can't cash.
Oh, it was. Oh my God! You should have seen it like earlier today or something. Like he was just pissing off everybody, and like I'm just sitting there, like you know, they're watching TV or something, and my wife's like, "Shut up!" And she's like, "Oh wait, that wasn't in my head." And I said that. Oh crap! He's like, "You shut up!" I'm like, "Look what you did."
William Murderface in chat says your child is trying to guilt trip already, LOL.
Right, he learns that from his mom.
Well, I guess we could tease this a little bit, but this is going to be coming at some point in the next couple months. We don't know when, but I almost think this is too big to tease, but here it is. We're gonna drop the bomb. Loki's kid will be on OLR in the next couple months. We are making plans to make that happen. I would love it even more if it could be both Julian and Loki's son. Maybe we can talk to Julian's mom and make that happen. Maybe we'll just let them have the show for the day. We'll see what that is coming.
We'll see.
In a couple months.
Maybe we could have the podcast for kids by kids.
Well, he'll have other
stuff. When I think of Orange Lounge Radio, I don't think of four kids, Dark Soccer. We have real potty mouth problems on this show.
I know. I meant their own podcast.
Oh, okay.
Four kids by kids.
Why not everybody starting a podcast? And if you already have a podcast, start another one.
We still need to discuss.
I know, right?
Intervention.
Project number five. All right. Anyway, some other comments here. Loki's kid is learning to be sneaky. This is from Breakman. Loki's kid is learning to be sneaky. It's like he's learning from one of the best or something. SG100 Matt says, seriously, hit record and give the kids the show.
See what happens. I had no problem, you know, letting him play Pokemon Go. My wife's the one that has the problem with it. And whatever, you know.
I understand wanting to limit it.
Everything's good in moderation. Yeah, I understand too, because he gets cranky and annoying if, you know, you give in to him too much. But, like, I don't know. I don't have a problem with him playing it sometimes. So, I think it'd be fun.
All right. Let's get into some kickoff topics tonight. I have two things I want to talk about. First off, since we're already kind of talking about it, I want to do something a little bit rare for Orange Lounge Radio. I don't think we do this a lot ever since we started the kickoff topic as a way to not start every show with talking about the video games that you've been playing this week, which, by the way, is why we do a kickoff topic. But I want to do a kickoff topic that is essentially the exact same thing we talked about last week, but I think it is merited for once in the show's history, and that is to talk more about Pokemon Go and the cultural revolution that this game is becoming. You know, this is a really good, cheap opportunity for me to plug my brand new podcast, Wink, Nudge, Smile, available on iTunes. The Pokestop podcast is a brand new podcast, I'm hoping, with Shane. Even though you might think so from the name, it is not only about Pokemon Go, because you know Shane loves the handheld games, so he talks a lot about his shiny hunting adventures continue on there. He caught one during the show we taped last night. And then we talk about the handheld games as well. We talk about Pokken. It's really something for everything Pokemon, although obviously Go is the huge thing right now. So cheap plug, wink, nudge. It's available exclusively at vognetwork.com, and you can go right to the landing page for it, pokestoppodcast.com, but available in iTunes, Google Play Store, and soon everywhere else that I can think of to submit it. But those are the big two. But anyway, obviously, the impact of Pokemon is still huge. In fact, looking at the news this week, I got to be honest, you guys, there's not a lot of gaming news right now. I mean, we're kind of at a low point in the cycle anyway, because, you know, in the about 6 weeks following E3, you kind of get in that summer slump where a lot of people go on vacation because E3 is such a huge thing to prep for. So we're kind of in a little bit of a slump anyway in gaming news. But, like, seriously, go to your favorite gaming website. Half of the news articles this week are about Pokemon Go. I'm not even joking. Like with some of the ones I read, what, like VG247, you go to their front page, like half Pokemon Go stories, which I get it. I'm not accusing or criticizing at all. Like that's just where everybody's at right now because the impact this game is having is huge. For example, I'm sure you all have seen the videos on Facebook by now. Have you seen the video from Central Park where the Vaporeon spawns? And all these people like stampeding. It's almost a wonder that nobody got hurt.
It's like E3 in the Wii or something.
And it's dark outside, so you know it's after 9-10 o'clock at night, you know, just all running to Central Park to catch this Vaporeon. It's like, what the hell? This is nuts.
There was an article that just came up, and I wasn't going to do it as like an after show thing. I wanted to mention it because when we were talking to Bobby, we were talking about going to graveyards.
Sure.
And as a thing for you from folks in Ohio that said that they were hearing about a gym being in a particular graveyard, and they had lost a family member a few years ago, 20-year-old, buried there. And so they said, wouldn't it be funny if the gym was on top of his grave? And it was. So they actually left a sign there that said, all are welcome to play on this grave. He would have liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that would have been.
It just gets you in the feels, too. Like, it's such, like, little things like that. And especially, you know, and we were talking a little bit about this with Bobby, but I think you guys are also seeing these stories all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, is that people that have had anywhere from mild to serious mental health issues, whether that be social anxiety, which is, I'm learning is way more common than I originally thought it was, or just, you know, I don't want to necessarily say a fear of the outdoors, but there's certainly a lot of fucked up shit in the world right now. Like, there's a lot of fucked up shit happening in the world. And this game is causing people to be able to mentally put that aside and go outside, you know, and go on a walk, which for many people is something they maybe wouldn't have otherwise done. And to hear things like that, especially when video games get such a bad rap in our culture sometimes, right? When some of those fucked up things do happen in the world, a lot of people want to look at, it was the movies, it was the games, it was, you know, the violence in the games and so forth. You know, games often take a lot of that blame, but here's a great example of, okay, well, wait a minute. If you're going to report on all the bad, you should report on some of the good, too, because there's a lot of good that's coming from this particular game. But no, the media continues to focus on the bad about, oh, these people fell off a cliff while they were playing Pokemon Go because they weren't paying attention to signs or in general, paying attention whatsoever. But it's just amazing. And to expand on one other thought that I was talking a little bit about on Pokestop that I wanted to kind of expand on here. You know, we've done this show for 14 years, and we were born of an arcade gaming community. This show was born of an arcade gaming community that doesn't exist in the way it used to anymore. It's more of a niche thing, I would say, these days. But, you know, Dark Soccer, myself, Loki, I've told this story a million times. We all met playing Dance Dance Revolution, which was like, that was the game. That was our Pokemon Go. We would meet up at Roseville Golfland once a week, usually a lot more, three times a week, to play this game and related music games like Beatmania, Guitar Freaks, and all that stuff. We would play all these games. But somewhere along the way, because of the internet, probably, because of Xbox Live, because of the rise of these things that allowed us to stay indoors, so those of us that did have a little more social anxiety and those sorts of things, we had a way to play video games without going out into the real world now. And so arcade culture kind of has died a lot. Now, believe me, I fully realize, and I've talked about on this show, there are places like Round One, Dave and Buster's, you know, there are still some places that are starting to gain a little steam, but, and you may disagree with me on this, but I would still say a lot of that is very niche. A lot of that is still a little bit more in that cult department. It's growing, but it's not mainstream like arcades were in the 80s and 90s just yet. But now, with Pokemon Go, it's almost flipped things on its head because we all came back home to play games. And now Pokemon Go is saying, you need to leave home again to play games. And so it's almost like it's bringing arcade culture back, but not to an arcade. It's bringing arcade culture to your parks. It's bringing arcade culture to downtown. It's bringing arcade culture to wherever these Pokestops and gyms are, which is basically everywhere. And it's quite something to behold. But I mean, you know, if it wasn't for arcade culture, would I have ever walked up to Darksoccer and said, you know, oh, you play this video game, I play this video game too? Although that's not how the conversation went. I just don't remember. It was a long time ago. But would Loki and I have ever had something to talk about? Would we have ever talked about insane edits that he was making on DDR? Would we have had those things to talk about? Who knows? Arcade culture is what made this show. And now it's happening again because of Pokemon. Strangers are talking to each other, you know, about, oh, did you see there's a Rapidash over there at that Pokestop? You got to go over there and get it. And people have these things to talk about again. And friendships are being formed. Rivalries too. And some people take that shit a little too far. But, you know, there's always an ugly side of every culture. And arcades sometimes had toxic people as well. Looking at all that aside, I think there's been a lot more good stuff than there's been bad stuff. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? The arcade culture coming back again because of Pokemon Go?
I don't know. It's just people going to the park.
And it doesn't matter what park. It's every park.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily call that arcade culture. I would actually say it would be, because the arcades, and you know, for us, were more of a, it was like bars when you're dating. You, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, traditionally, I don't know, I really, my dates were never really at bars, but.
Well, I think of Cheers when Norm would walk into the bar and everybody went, Norm! I remember when I used to go to DDR and walk through the big castle doors at Roseville Golfland, Rob!
You know, it's your pub. It really is. So it's when you find other people that are doing the same thing that you are, it's an immediate bonding. I'm sorry, I am not as articulate as I would like to be tonight. So I hope that my words are making some sense.
They are. Don't worry. Push through that Norco.
You use words. Sense. They're the best words.
I'm really good at words.
You are wording all the things very well tonight, Darksagra.
Oh, girl. So, but at any rate, I wouldn't, because the arcade culture, I think, is dependent on having an arcade and having being in that type of environment. What this is doing is it's just more facilitating the same type of social interaction. It is a catalyst for people to actually, as, and I'll tell you, this is a big, probably a California thing, I don't know, but when I moved out here, and it's still like this, people, for example, if you've got someone standing in the middle of the aisle and you're trying to get around them, people will try to squeeze past without saying, excuse me, or sorry, would you mind stepping aside so I can get past you? No one will talk to another person. You won't have chatter in the line at the grocery store. You won't randomly say hi to a stranger. Now, this is sort of removing that barrier to participating in society. Instead of it's me and there's all these other people, it's us and we are. And that is the big thing. Am I, by the way, am I wrong about that observation about California?
No, but I would say that's almost more small town versus large town. Not that I'm necessarily calling Mobile a small town, but I do think there's kind of that and the Southern culture in a way, you know, I think does play into that. So I don't know if that's necessarily specifically California, because I think if you went to New York City, you'd probably find something similar. You know what I mean? I think that's just large town versus small town. But you're not wrong in your observation.
So,
I'll say that.
And people get so surprised when you actually, oh, excuse me, you know, but this, the same thing, instead of us having this barrier between people where no one wants to speak to another person or no one wants to interact, either for this perceived notion of convenience or inconvenience or for... Maybe I don't know.
Well, I just want to say, you know, because I want to get to some comments here in the chat room as well. But I think you're right. And when I talk about arcade culture, I don't think I literally mean the cult, like that arcade magic is just, unfortunately, it's never coming back. That's just something folks our age will remember forever. And I just don't, well, never say never, I suppose. But that's just something that is not what it used to be. But you're right when you say there's that particular magic where you and I have something in common now, and mm-hmm. it's this game. We have the door is open for us to talk, and it's not weird if I like come up to you and just be like, you know, because sometimes people walk up to you like, hey, how you doing? How's your day? And maybe that's why that tends to happen in bars, because alcohol loosens you up a little bit. But usually, especially in big cities, like that story you're telling about the grocery store, people tend to clam up a little bit. And it's like, why is this person talking to me? But when it's about Pokemon, like, hey, did you see the Clefairy that just spawned over there? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not weird at all. Well, it's not weird at all to ask somebody, have you seen my Jigglypuff?
When I was in line at Taco Bell, because when I can't get out and walk, if I'm in a place where I'll be driving slowly or, you know, like in a parking lot, I'll turn on the game so that it counts my distance when I'm moving slowly. And so she just happened to see it in my car and just like, if you go like a couple of blocks down, we saw this over there, which I didn't stop. I was like, oh, thank you. You know, just random.
Oh, yeah. And I heard a girl, we were walking through the park. We were walking to get to this Thai restaurant we wanted to eat to. And there's mm-hmm. tons of people at this park playing, right? And this girl's like, I got to find the Pikachu. Where's the Pikachu? Pikachu. And I looked at her, I yelled, Pikachu. In the parking lot, diagonal from the park. And she goes, thank you so much, and runs off. You know, and it's, you know, and Alan and I were talking over dinner. I hope that girl got her Pikachu, because she really wanted it.
I got one right here.
Yeah, apparently that park is like a
I'll give
spot
you a
Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Oh, stop it.
I need to catch a Raichu, but I'm starting to find more evolved ones around too. But, I mean, this way I was even thinking of, like, trying to get friends for, like, a weekly Poke Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, pick a neighborhood, have people together, and do a night walk.
Which is funny because, and I don't mean to, like, be an ass, but this is just the reality of the situation. You've talked about doing a weekly walk before. Like, oh, we're going to go do on a walk just for our health and for our sanity. We're going to go walking. And I don't think that idea really ever got off the ground more than one or two weeks. But Dark Sakura, now the Pokemon are involved, it'll happen.
Let's do it.
It'll happen. Absolutely.
You know.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, I think, you know, even, like, you know, like, maybe if we want to do, like, a club night or something, go walk downtown, you know, power numbers, safe enough.
That's right.
Stop in.
That's why I'll go to Old Sac, because I don't go alone.
Stop in, go, you know, go to a couple clubs, have a drink, mm-hmm. keep walking. Stop for dessert. Keep walking.
Act Deft in chat says, Dark Sakura, my friends and I are doing that. We chose Thursday nights. SG100 Matt says, I'm just surprised by the huge response and the amount of people playing it. My small hometown tracks in a local park has been getting 50 people a night. They don't get that many people a day with regular events. Some other comments about the whole, like, arcade culture thing I wanted to get to in chat. JD in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, I feel like arcade culture went away largely for financial reasons. I don't really see Pokemon Go changing the financial picture there, even with its popularity. You know, that's an interesting point. Because Pokemon Go, it's making money. You know, I realize they do give out free lures and free, you know, some of these. But you know people are buying them. Look, guilty. I dropped $20 on it. You know why? Because I wanted to support the game's development. I've been a Niantic fan for years because of Ingress. I knew day one I was going to drop $20 just because I wanted to show a little love to the game. And, you know, some more XP eggs are nice too. But
I bought some incubators.
And there, it adds up, people. All those people in Central Park running to get the Vaporeon, if they all spend $5, you know, Niantic's making money.
Well, they
and
already said
Apple's making money because they get, what is it, 30%.
They've already calculated
Google's getting
it.
Money because they get 30%.
It's like the amount of money that they're receiving per user is higher than, like, even can. Well, it's double what most games are. It's slightly higher than, like, Candy Crush Saga, though. I mean, they're estimating, I mean, it's like a quarter per person per day, but a quarter times, you know,
yeah, a billion, not,
you know,
not
quite
big.
A few million people, then that's still quite a bit of money.
More people than were playing Candy Crush at its peak, which officially happened in the last week.
Eat another one of these because I don't want to eat them all.
Those Cinnabon things are amazing, and I don't feel guilty because I'll walk it off.
Yeah.
I'll work off this Jigglypuff a little later. I'm just going to put the box here for a moment while I finish a couple other thoughts.
But the precious.
So I have a couple other thoughts, and then I want to move on. So one, the inevitable knockoff games. It's coming. Because if you're a gaming company, and you're not, you know, they're all thinking, everybody's seeing Pokemon Go. employees at game companies are all playing Pokemon Go. I mean, that's a given. I don't have to tell you that I know people that work in the gaming industry, and fuck yeah, they're all playing Pokemon Go just like the rest of us
are. The problem is, though, it's going to be, you know, coming up with the infrastructure for all that, because they've had this being built by the community for years now with Ingress, and now
and
you can't just jump into that.
Yeah, no, and that, so if somebody is going to quote-unquote knock off Pokemon Go, they're going to have to figure out where are they going to get that
network
from.
But then again, there's other location-based games. Haven't played any of them, so I don't know how those work.
You know, and some would argue, Rob, did you ever play a Vita game called Invisimals? Because that is a lot of, you know, what you see in Pokemon Go is in this Invisimals game. No, I did not play that game, and I'm going to give you my honest reason that you don't want to hear. I didn't play that game because it wasn't Pokemon. And I didn't play that game because, you know, on the Vita, you're kind of constricted to your house. So it was just, and I mean, in a way, I kind of felt that, oh, well, isn't that similar to just the Face Raider game or whatever that is that's built into the 3DS? I mean, it's, you know, so there's a lot more that I think Pokemon Go does. But I'm sure other companies are going to try to rip it off. I think I even read a story out there. There's already Chinese games being made that, you know.
Although just straight up rip Pokemon Go and call it something else, and it would be Pokemon Go.
You know what? When Flappy Bird came out, there was a million clones, including Flappy Vogue, playable at VogueNetwork.com. Wink. What's going to be the first real challenger that steps up? And I'm curious what gaming company's looking at it. And if you follow me on Twitter, I've been saying a lot that I fully predict it's going to be Disney. And because who's got the characters that can compete with Pokemon? Disney.
Monster Hunter?
This is not going to be popular, what I'm about to say. This is a hard truth. Not nearly as popular as Pokemon. It's kind of a niche thing.
And Digimon already had it ages ago.
And Digimon, not as well known as Pokemon. I know you don't want to hear that.
Already had it ages ago.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of... Digimon, have they done anything recent with it?
Well, there's Digimon Adventure Tri is the series that's out right now, which basically is a continuation of the first two series. But keep in mind, Digimon existed before Pokemon as little items that you would carry around on these little things that you could put them together and battle against each other.
Wasn't it kind of a derivative, not directly, but a derivative of Tamagotchi?
Actually, the same company.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Tamagotchi was the precursor to Digimon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who's really big into mobile gaming? And they have a franchise called Elebits. That's as close as I can get.
Konami. That'd be funny. ActDef says Disney Infinity rebranding. Disney Infinity and beyond. You know what? You should trademark that title because it's pretty good.
Too bad. They should have just done what they were planning on doing, Disney Infinity, and I think that would have been great as it was. But sure, if they want to try doing this, that's cool. It won't make any sense, but, you know,
neat. I do feel like there are other, like, public source, open source, geocaching websites. There are other databases that a competitor could choose to pull from, or they could just be really generic and just split the world into tiny little squares and do something with that. Like, I'm not saying whatever the ripoff game is going to be literally the same thing as Pokemon Go with different characters. In fact, I would be very disappointed if that was the game. But I think you will see somebody try to push the get out in the real world and look for our characters type of game before the holidays. So we'll see what happens with that. And I had something else I wanted to talk. Oh, yeah, one other thing. Let me ask you guys about this. And I'm curious what chat thinks about this, too. How long is this going to go on? Like, I kind of don't believe that 6 months from now I'm still going to go to Old Sac and there's going to be hundreds of people on the pier trying to catch a horsey. How long? What's the end game here with Pokemon Go? What's this going to look like
there
a week
no
from now?
End game right a month now. From now. There's no game. So there can't be an end game. It's just catching Pokemon, and then you fill up your Pokedex, and then you're done. And then by the time most people are getting close to doing that, they'll release more Pokemon, and it'll be a never-ending thing. Why, you know, trying to answer the question why people are attached to certain brands, it makes no fucking sense. I mean, why do people play Candy Crush Saga? Who the fuck knows? Who the hell cares? But they're making money off of it. It's just this is the fad that's going, you know, the be popular right now, and eventually another fad will come along, and that'll be that.
JD in chat theorizes a competitor could use the Foursquare or Facebook databases, LOL. Mega Man X 400 says it will die down, but there will be people always playing the game. That's how I kind of feel, too, is that right. You might not have 500 people at in Old Town, but you might have five.
Right. Just like with night. Ingress. There's us. We're dozens strong.
That's true. It'll become a cult thing like Ingress. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says it will eventually plateau, but in the meantime, everyone's enjoying the ride. That's for sure. William Murderface says, I think it depends. If you keep updating mechanics and adding Pokemon and having events, maybe years. You know, to be fair to Niantic and Ingress, and we've mentioned this on the show before, Niantic has not shied away from changing the game as it's going and putting new things out there and new items and changes to basic game mechanics. Like when they introduced the pay store in Ingress, it really changed the way that people farmed for gear, because it used to be like, you know, you'd have to have a bunch of portals that you could just either drive through or walk through really quick and hack, you know, repeatedly. But then they added, I want to say they added glyph hacking for one. I don't think that was in the game in the very beginning. So where you could do like a longer hack and you like drew pictures, a Simon Says type game, and you got more gear. And then when they opened the pay store, there was frackers, which would double the gear output, and it changed the way that people get their gear. Because Niantic split from Google, and when they split from Google, that's when they opened the cash shop, because they had to substantiate themselves. They didn't have unlimited Google money anymore. But I think, you know, those of you that are worried that the game's never going to get changed or upgraded, I think, to be fair to Niantic, now granted they have a lot of server issues and all that stuff to work out right now, but once they work that stuff out, I really do think Niantic will change and upgrade the game and all that stuff. So I think that is coming. Anyhow, that's, I guess, all I want to say on Pokemon Go. Let me get a couple more comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo in chat says, it won't be Disney. They're kind of over video games. It's probably going to be something like the Smurfs or Treasurer Trolls. Kaijudo, I see your point with Disney, but I kind of don't think it's accurate when it comes to mobile. Look on the mobile store right now, because there's still a lot of Disney games on mobile. So I get what you're saying with consoles, especially what we saw with Infinity, but I feel like in the mobile space, Disney ain't done.
You know what? I was actually just thinking that I like some of those pounds are doing, where you walk their dogs. And you can do it while you're playing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of see like having charity walk apps and things like that become more popular as a result, especially things that you can run in conjunction with Pokemon Go or other apps like that.
And Dungeon Buster says, it's interesting to think that Pokemon Go is probably their bare bones foundation for much larger changes later. They've really only started out with a relatively small pick of Pokemon, and there's the entire history of the series to draw on for special events, mechanics, and so forth. And, you know, you bring up a good point, because, you know, we're talking about, will this thing be dead next week, next month? Niantic hasn't even announced a live event for Pokemon Go yet. It's coming. We know, you saw the trailer with Mewtwo in Central Park, and we know damn well there's about five Pokemon in the game right now you can't catch. If you see pictures of people with Mew or Mewtwo, they are fake. Niantic is saving those for these live events. And so that whole piece of the puzzle has yet to unveil itself on what that's going to look like. Is that going to involve battling for gyms and only one team will be able to get the Pokemon? I actually think that would be really shitty, because there's a lot of kids playing this game, so they're going to need to open it up to everybody somehow. I realize it's very hippy-dippy, but it's the honest-to-God truth. We'll see how that's going to work in the coming weeks. So I expect we're going to have regular Pokemon updates on this show, because the game will continue to evolve. It'll just be interesting how many people are still with it when the live events and those things start to come out. Anyway, I do want to get to our gaming weeks, but before we do, I want to ask Dark Soccer about this, because you got to the show just in the nick of time tonight, because you were at another event right up until 5 o'clock. You want to tell us about where you were at today?
I was at a game developers jam. Done by IDGA Sacramento, the independent game developer association. I can't make my brain work right now. what was the other one? I totally can't think of it. I think it's like Girls Do Code, something like that. I'll have to look it back up again because, like I said, I'm not thinking very clearly. But I was a judge on the panel with two other brilliant ladies. And basically, they had 2 days to put a working game demo, or at least enough of the game that would give you like a minimal amount to get it working and fine. So they had some great games there. And there's actually another one that I really wanted to bring up too. But I'll go through the recap. There was one that was called Battle Arena, and they won our runner-up. That's basically a combination of having like a PvP arena matches and real-time strategy on the overworld maps. And it was a neat concept. There was our winner, which was Overtime, which was sort of like Silent Hill in an office. And they just, you know, had enough to show us practical gameplay, but it's definitely going to be more of a psychological type of scare as opposed to, you know, jump scary.
Well, I know I find The Office Place to be very scary, so yeah. A lot of people can relate.
Well, this really, it really, you know, there was another one then that was called Y-Brick, which is Kirby backwards, where instead of you eating things, you're a piece of pizza that gets eaten by people. And then you have to go through like different worlds inside of these people, and you until you're vomited or excreted or something.
That's interesting, yeah. But I like the.
It's an interesting concept.
I know, it's pretty creative. It's clever though.
And then there was another one. I don't remember that it had a name, but it was done with the what's it called? The pulse band. It's used for meditation.
Oh.
That, you know, you have to get your alpha waves into a particular line. But they were going to do like an infinite runner type. But when you get your mind into this certain set, then you can fire because it'll read the alpha waves. And they're supposed to work it with like different waves that you get different buffs for powers as you go through the game. And it was a neat concept. But the thing to me is that it's also, I think, generally requires one to be neurotypical. You know, I think that people who are atypical would definitely have some trouble with that because mindsets are much harder to control based on other things.
I still don't know how I feel about reading people's minds and stuff, although I mean it's a cool concept, not to but I'm just like, ooh, the mind control gaming is a really scary kind of exciting thing. I gotta mention this, you're getting a shout out in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. an anonymous chatter says, hey, that's us, Overtime, thanks again for coming out. You must have left an impression. You got,
well,
folks,
I did hang out and talk with those guys, and I was super super impressed with what they had there. I think, you know, definitely, you know, more It was, I think, pretty bare bones as far as the renders.
Uh-huh.
They definitely, you know, needed some texturing and some work going on in it. But
yeah,
it was
2 days. 2 days.
It was, yeah. I would say, impressively polished for what it was.
Yeah.
You know, everything worked. Sound effects were in. There were music. It was. I was really impressed with the other thing that really impressed me about them was how cohesive. They were. Everyone in their group was on the same page. And there was another thing, and they won our honorable mention, is a concept for a game. Now, they didn't have the demo or anything like that, because they're actually looking for people to help them develop it. They've just got mock-ups and writing done. So I said I would give a shout-out, you know, but the game is called Daddy's Tiny Girl, where through a series of misfortunes, a six-year-old girl is adopted by a giant. And so the game is her exploring a giant's world. And she has like giant magic that gives her more strength and the ability to eat like a giant and all kinds of things. But you play through a little girl's eyes trapped in a giant's world. And I thought that the concept was so nice. And the story, that what I heard of it so far, was really good. They just need people to help them design and code. So if anyone is out there who would love to help these girls out, send me a line. You can email me through the show, participate at...
Twitter's a good way, too.
Yeah, you can get me at Twitter at DarkSakura. But you can also email our line here. But I said I would put the word out there, see if you know anyone might be able to help them with coding or different things that they need, because the concept is really solid.
Well, and those folks that do overtime that are listening, you know, first off, I want to check out the game. How come Dark Soccer got to see all these games tonight? And I guess I should.
Because I have boobs.
That's not fair.
And they're amazing.
Well, no, I get I should have just hauled my ass to the event.
I'm a lady in gaming.
But B, when you guys get something together that you might put out there for public consumption or something, by all means, our couch is open, so we'll get you guys on the show to talk about it.
And as I brought up to the guys behind Overtime, I would love to have them on the show for sure to talk about it, because I really think that, you know, I really want to see the finished product.
Yeah,
I would play the shit out of it.
So sometimes developers just need a little motivation. You guys all remember, do we all remember when YYR came on this show?
Mm-hmm.
And I read him up and down saying, if you do not make this game, I will sell it for millions of dollars because you were too lazy to do it. And now, and he just got on Steam Greenlight. Not to say I told you so, but.
You told him so. Girl.
There's enough jaded BS that's happened gaming commentating for the past 14 years that we tend to know a pretty good idea when we see one, that, you know, you just gotta sometimes really apply yourself. Also, since Dark Soccer has been taking Norco, I decided I would drink some wine that I started on the PokeStop podcast last night, so now
I'm gonna have wine.
But I'm serious in what I said.
But these, by the way, completely unintentional endorsement. Fuck you, Taco Bell, for making the Cinnamon Delights absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
I think good. Rob and I finished the box together.
There's still a couple more left, so you might want to
have
one.
They're
going to
go in my mouth.
All right. Anyway. Okay, so that's great. It sounds like that was a lot of fun. And we love SAC IGDA and Bree and Gabe and everybody involved with them. So I'm really glad we were able to do something outside just the one event a year. So I'm really ecstatic that you went to that. So that's great.
I was glad to be invited. I was super happy.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, all right. Well, let's move on to how was our gaming week and what types of video games have we been playing this week? I guess since Dark Soccer tends to go first, she'll go first again.
What?
So what have you been playing
Cinnabon
this week?
Cinnabon Delights, the game.
How was your gaming week outside of the fine game jam developed things?
I have been playing some Pokemon Go when I could get out of the house to walk. I've hatched a few eggs. They've had shit in them. I also have been playing a lot of Sims 4 because I have to ice my hand a lot. So I will just put an ice pack on and leave it over my little immobile mouse. And I've just been going nuts building tree houses and building things. I really super love The Sims 4. And I think that's really it. And I'm still on Miitomo because I like Miitomo. Although I curse loudly playing the stupid Miitomo drop.
Do you still get a enough of a supply of tickets and things where you're not really having to pay?
They're
for
giving
that?
A lot more tickets now.
Oh, that's
like
good.
In the last month, I've gotten like a ticket like practically every day.
I would imagine that's because a lot of that is slowed down, maybe.
Yeah, and you can get tickets as redemption prizes for your mission points. So. But you know me, I mean, like, the other thing I like about The Sims is you know, dressing people up and designing my characters. So sort of had the same thing in Miitomo. And right now I have my little me in an all vinyl bodysuit. So I was like, ooh.
I have to admit, I kind of finally fell off the Miitomo bandwagon, but I do need to fire it up. And yeah. I partially blame Pokemon Go for that, but I also blame that fucking Tap My Katamari game that Loki got me addicted to, which, by the way, he's playing right now, and I know it because I keep seeing his finger going tap, 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 and there's nothing.
Exactly.
There's
nothing you tap on your phone that much.
I am totally not.
I'm very impatient. I'm just tapping.
Hurry up and finish your gaming week, Dark Soccer, so I can talk. No, he's playing Tap My Katamari.
I'm totally not going to play that.
Yes, please don't.
That is a good life choice.
Oh, I did play something else because I found out I can use it in dual monitor mode.
Hmm.
Was Cat Lateral Damage.
Oh, really?
I fucking love Cat Lateral Damage. I mean, it's not easy, and the controls are kind of not responsive in the way that I'd like for them to, and also it's really hard to play when you're on Norco. But it's cute. I had fun with it. And basically, you were literally playing an asshole cat. Not sweet, happy cat or mischievous cat. You were destroying things because you hate the family. It says it in the game. You're doing this because you hate everyone. I was like, okay, I'm
going to
do that.
Well, that's just a cat. I mean...
Well, no, Midna doesn't...
She's just luring you into a false sense of security.
Midna is a good cat.
Before she strikes for the kill.
No, Midna loves me. So that's pretty much been my week, is building houses in The Sims.
And then wrecking them with a cat.
No. I did tear down a house that I just made and started a new one. Because I was like... I'm going to tell you something. Big houses are great in The Sims, and they'll look nice and everything, but they are a fucking pain in the ass to play through. Make yourself a small house with a big yard, and you will be very happy.
It's a good life lesson. Just keep it small.
Remember,
keep it reasonable.
The stuff you own owns you.
All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Honestly, it's pretty much the same as last week. You know, I played Pokemon Go a bit when it was working. And then Ingress just a bit, just to keep my daily stuff going on. I think I may have captured a portal to here or there. And then Tap My Katamari, been playing way too much of that just because, I don't know, that's about all of the brain activity I have in the evening is just for that. I mean, like, I was trying to research voxel engines and stuff like that, and just reading through the code, my eyes just get so blurry and stuff just because I'm so tired. But Tap My Katamari requires no brain power whatsoever. It's pretty much just tapping the screen, so I'm able to play that just fine. And then, of course, just so that I could say I played a game aside from the crap that I played last week, I did fire up a little bit of Burnout Paradise on Steam and played through a little bit of that today, but it's all right. I didn't get a chance to play anything on the PlayStation 4 because my fucking wife is still watching Grey's Anatomy, and I'm still very unhappy about this. I need some sort of external... and that's the other thing too, is like none of the fucking streaming options work. It's like, oh hey, yeah, you can stream your PlayStation 4 to your laptop. No, I can't. It doesn't fucking work at all, which makes no fucking sense because I'm on like wireless AC. My laptop should be able to run that shit, and the router is literally fucking 6 feet away from me, so there's no reason that shouldn't work. I want to say even tried a wired connection as well, and I don't think it's working either. I don't know why. It could be because fucking Netflix is going, and that shit's a network hog, so that could be it. But I would think that, you know, it does have Wi-Fi direct for the PlayStation. I wish it could just connect directly to the PlayStation, you know, cut out the whole middleman of the router and everything. But whatever, I guess it's just not going to work, and I'm going to be stuck with my computer full of, like, oh, by the way, I did surpass 500 games in my Steam library now, so I have nothing to play. I literally have nothing to play.
There should be a video game called I Have Nothing to Play.
It's
on Steam for
99
cents.
Yeah, it's like I was looking through my Steam library and, like, I don't know what any of this is, but I'm going to buy some more because it's cheap. I got, like, there was a bundle with Skullgirls in it for, like, $3.99. And then something else that was like on the same page for $2.99. I'm like, Sir, You're Being Hunted was in another one that was like $2.99. I'm like, yeah, it's $6 for like 20 games. I can't beat that. That's pretty good. So I bought it and probably won't play them ever.
All right. Fair enough.
And I keep going through these stupid like Steam or PlayStation sales. It's getting as bad as like Steam now. It's like, ooh, that's $5.99. Maybe I will pick up a copy of Knack. No.
Mega Man X400 in our chat says Loki is a digital hoarder. Yes, we've actually.
I am a digital hoarder, yes.
At least you admit it. At least you
I
admit
am.
It. All right, anything else for your gaming week?
That's it.
My gaming week. Honestly, a lot of the same types of stuff. I mean, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go, and because of that, my interest in the main Pokemon games is kind of back. I'm still playing Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, making my way through that. And so I played a little more of that this week, and been playing Overwatch, which has been fun. I'm challenging myself to try new characters, and I actually have found that I love playing Pharah. And that was something, like, when the game first came out, I couldn't really get into, and all I could play was support characters like Lucio and Symmetra. But I love playing Pharah because she flies, and she has a rocket launcher, and who doesn't love a rocket launcher? So I'm having a lot of fun playing her, even though her ultimate leaves her so vulnerable. It is so frustrating sometimes, but that's been fun. I've been playing a little bit with Alan. I've been playing with one of our listeners who has done some of the artwork for some of the other shows, Codeman. He's a pretty good Junkrat. He got play of the game with Junkrat, and he plays D.Va. I mean, it's easy to get play of the game as Junkrat, though. but he plays a good D.Va. So when we team up, we actually tend to win a lot of games. So I do fair or I might heal. So I've been playing a little bit of that. That's been a lot of fun. There's only really been one new game that I played this week, and it is a free game with gold game that came out on Xbox One. Because, you know, those games flip out, what, on the 1st and the 15th, right? So the new games came out on, I think, July 16th is when it came out. The game is called Tumblestone. That's out on the Xbox One. And I think regularly this game would cost you $20. But now it is free with Games with Gold. And if I had paid $20 for this game, I would have been so fucking mad. Because it's really it's something that's like an iPhone game that's kind of put on the Xbox One. It's a puzzle game. Basically, you have a well of falling bricks, and you want to just move back and forth to catch. I guess it's kind of like Magical Drop. You want to catch like three in a row, but you don't necessarily have to throw them back up. It's just that you pull them down in three in a row. But the way the well is designed, sometimes you may screw yourself over so that if you pull the wrong three bricks down, you can't pull three more bricks down of the same color and you're going to instantly lose. So, okay, from a puzzle game aspect, I guess that's a decent concept, but all you get in the Games with Gold is the story mode. And I kind of have an issue with this because I think it's a little shady for Microsoft to release this under Games with Gold. Because all you get is the story mode of the game, which, okay, fine. It's a competent for a puzzle game little story mode. I mean, the graphics are what you would see on an iPad or iPhone or Google game. But all right. But if you want to do the marathon or arcade mode or whatever, you have to buy the arcade DLC expansion, which is $4.99. Okay, look, that's not really a... I'm sorry, it's not really much of a free game, if at all. It kind of is more like a really enhanced demo. Granted, there is a multiplayer mode. I have not been able to explore much of that. That is included in the game, so I should mention that. I don't know if you will find anyone else to play this game with. Maybe randos on Xbox Live, but I just don't think the game is that compelling. I've played far better puzzler games in my life, one of them being Magical Drop, which is on Steam. What, Magical Drop 5 or something is on Steam. I would rather be playing that. Sorry, I'm sure people worked hard on this game, but it's not... I guess it might work better as a Go game. I might play this on my iPhone or my iPad. I mean, it is a common enough puzzler in that regard. But I was a little irritated with the fact that you don't really get the full game with the Games with Gold. So I'm calling you out, Microsoft. That is a shady release on Games with Gold. I kind of don't think enough people are actually going to bother to check out that game to realize what is happening. Because Tron also came out, and there's probably more people that are curious on picking that game up and seeing what they missed, but I don't think it's really worth your time. Brad from Pod Culture says, Sky, it's a free game, no reason to complain. Is it though? Because I do have to be a paying gold subscriber and maintain that subscription to play it.
To play Devil's Advocate, though, maybe that's just how they have their normal game set up. It's not like that they did this just because it's going free and, hey, we need to get some more money out of you. It's just the developers just stupid, and they decided that this is what they want to, you know, cordon off with another piece of DLC, which I think for that type of game, $20 being the entry point, that's kind of dumb.
I see your point, Brad. I acknowledge your point, but at the same time, I just look at this and I go, this is just a poor release. I mean, yeah, it's free, but when you are competing against the PlayStation Plus games, you know, you still have to make sure that the games are of a quality level to make it worth it, because not a lot of people are necessarily going to subscribe to both. Breakman in chat says, I downloaded this game. Should I just delete it, Sky? I guess play it once to see for yourself if you already downloaded it, but you will probably end up deleting it. So there it is. all right. And I'm sorry, I'm scrolling back up in chat. Akuma JP says, Sky is rubbing it into us Japanese because we don't have Pokemon Go yet. I'm sorry, Akuma JP, but the reality is every time they launch a game in a new country, it crashes. They released in Canada today. It crashed it. It crashed. Canada apologized for that. I'm just kidding. But, you know, in all seriousness, every time they release a
Did you see the was it the tweet from the guy that's like the head of Amazon, the web services or whatever?
Yeah, who's like offered to help.
It's like, Niantic with guys.
Yeah. You might want to take advantage of that. But here's the thing. They know it's going to be... Look, Ingress was already big in Japan. So Pokemon Go, really, it's going to be... It, let me put it this way. It will be really weird if Pokemon Go isn't successful in Japan. I mean, I suppose that could always happen, but I fully anticipate Pokemon Go is going to be fucking huge in Japan just like it is everywhere else. So they kind of need the servers to stabilize everywhere else before they give it to Japan, because Japan will break the game. Love you guys, and I do think you should be able to play, and I know it's got to be super frustrating to see all these other people playing. I mean, even for those 12 hours when Australia was in and we weren't in, it was very frustrating, and for Japan, this has been going on for weeks. But it will break when it's released in Japan, and it's just going to be frustrating for everybody. So there is that. Anyhow. All right. That's all I wanted to say about my gaming week. So let's move on. Just some quick housekeeping. Please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. We are also on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. And we will not be here Labor Day weekend because I will be at Dragon Con. That is, as far as the calendar for conventions and thing for the rest of the year, I will be at Dragon Con. I will be at GamerX 4, and I will be at, Final Fantasy Fan Fest. That's my plans for the rest of the year. I'm not thinking I will show up at any other cons, but you never say never. I am starting to think, do I want to go to one day of TwitchCon again, even though it's in San Diego? I am toying with that idea. We'll see. And then there's always the PlayStation experience, especially if they do it in San Diego, or sorry, not San Diego. If they do it in San Francisco again, I kind of think I have to go. And Shane is also talking about Pokemon Worlds, which I may drop in for a day. So we'll see.
If well, which one was in San Diego?
Twitch. Yeah. TwitchCon.
If TwitchCon's in not in San Diego, I meant San Francisco. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Maybe PlayStation Experience again. I don't know, because last time they had it in Vegas, but the year before they had it in San Francisco. So we'll
see. Might, if it's in San Francisco, I might go to that. So just let me know.
Yeah. We'll see. Anyway. Let's see. And JD says, I mean, there is a RuPaul's Drag Con in response to what Stoppy said. When Sky says Dragon Con, I hear drag and con.
I do want to go to Drag Con next year.
Yeah, Drag Con would be fun, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's I have to pick and choose the cons at some point. I can't go to everything. I don't have that type of limited
budget. He has
budget.
To weigh the pros and cons, if you will.
Get out. If I were a Twitch celebrity and could have conventions throwing money at me to attend, this wouldn't be a pick-and-choose situation.
I was at Disneyland the weekend before DragCon, so I could just make that my birthday present.
There you go. Yeah. All right, let's get into some gaming news. It's been a bit of a slower week, but we do have some things to discuss. We'll get to your calls later as well. Loki, what do you have for us?
All right, so there's some Neo rumors that are coming out. These are kind of actually stuff that's been out for a while now, because I want to say that the original specs, rumors, and everything came from this document, but the document actually hadn't been released or leaked out there. It was just somebody, you know, relaying the information that was on it before. And so it kind of, it's just basically a lot of the same information we've heard so far, that, you know, what they've said, it's basically the device is going to be coexisting with the PlayStation 4. It's going to have the same applications, same online community, stores, etc. There's, you know, seeing the output, you know, the 4K is going to be included to it. Spec wise, you know, it's 2.1 gigahertz or 1.3 times faster. 36 CUs at 911 megahertz for the GPU. So that's about 2.3 times faster. And then a little bit higher memory bandwidth, 218 gigabytes per second, which is about a 1.25 improvement. And, you know, it's going to share the same hard drive and that type of stuff. Also, you know, they basically saying that, you know, games are going to have like this Neo mode available to them. So the games that are supporting that will, you know, run a little bit better on the Neo versus the actual PlayStation 4. And basically talking about some of the software development kit upgrades and stuff that are going to be coming down the pipeline as well. Yeah, I mean, there's not really a whole lot to kind of gain from this. Basically, just a lot of the same information that we've heard already. You know, supposed to be out around the same time as PlayStation VR, possibly. So don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a rumor, but everything in that presentation certainly seems plausible. I mean, right. I like that it's not, you know, they really are kind of stressing that the games have to run on the PlayStation 4 as well, and this is just something to get improved frame rate, upscaling the games to look a little better, but it's not like it's going to have this drastic look and feel or anything like that, which is expected.
If I don't have a 4K TV, then why would I want this? I mean, that's I just don't understand. And let's, don't get me wrong, I mean, people, there are people that want high-end systems and stuff, but what's exactly going to be the price point of this, and is there really a wide saturation of 4K TVs out right now? I mean, granted, maybe in the future, a couple of years, yeah, it might be a little bit more widespread, but I think with 4K, it seems like, maybe not so much on the PC side because people want higher resolutions, but I don't even think graphics cards can really take, you know, can use 4K right now and keep a decent frame rate. I think it's just almost like seems like a repeat of the whole 3D thing again, like where they're pushing the 3D TVs. I just don't know if it's going to be a thing. I mean, eventually we'll get there, but there's no there's not a lot of content for it. Yeah. There's the price point's really high, and there's not a lot of software that's going to utilize it. And I really have a hard time believing that these systems are going to pump out games with frame rates that are comparable to their PlayStation 4 counterparts with 4K. I just, even if the high-end video cards now can't do that, this ain't going to do that.
I'm really, my only concern is the PlayStation VR thing, because we've talked about it before where it's like, oh, maybe the PlayStation VR will be even better with this. And I just, I really hope the experience on the PlayStation 4 VR as it is fine.
Right, and that's with kind the current of like why I'm...
Is that what they're demoing at Best Buy's, is the current PlayStation?
I think
Do we
so.
See a current PlayStation out?
I think it's either that or a dev kit.
See, if it's a dev kit, could it be a Neo? I guess they wouldn't put those out in the wild.
No,
they'd
I
be
don't
silly.
Think so.
They'd be fools to do that.
I think it's probably the actual system. I just... I have the pre-order in for the VR, but like I'm kind of like going back on the fence again with them. Like, eh. You know, like Rez sounds cool and everything, but like, is it $400 cool? That's the thing.
I well, mean, yeah.
But here's yeah. With that though, $400. But would I be more? It would be more advantageous for me to just upgrade a buy a new computer system and get an actual VR, you know, like a Vive or something like that. That might be a better experience overall. Yeah, I'll miss out on Rez, but come on, I've played Rez already, so it's not like it's going to be a huge
But you've never played Rez like this.
I don't know. They're going to have it like in non-VR too, so you'll be able to play, I don't know, a slightly updated version of it, but it's like, maybe give it some more time.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, they're going to unveil this at some point, and they're really going to have to sell the reasons why
I want
to
be soon,
spend
like,
money
I think
on
at
it.
Gamescom or something. But
yeah, you think we'll see. Well, many folks in chat are talking about how Star Trek. I see that in chat, but that's about something else. Many people in chat are talking about Street Fighter V and how that is actually showing on Evo right now on ESPN2. But there's, you know, and that's a great thing for the, you know, exposure of the game and so forth, but not all the news about Street Fighter V this week has necessarily been well received. There is a new PlayStation Store listing that is offering up a new Street Fighter V bundle. It's a DLC bundle called the CPT Premier Package or the Capcom Pro Tour, Premier Package. It will include costumes for Chun-Li and Cammy, a mystery CPT costume. There'll be a new color pack for all of the 2016 characters, and there will be new titles, including Capcom Cup 2016 and Capcom Pro Tour 2016, and a new stage called the Ring of Destiny for $25 is how much that DLC is going to cost, $24.99.
Going back to the old like $5 a character nonsense.
Now, apparently, some of this money is to fund, I guess, the prize pool for the Capcom Pro Tour, I guess is the whole thing. That's some of the defense I've been reading about it. But
No, that's not a defense.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, you kind of need to pony up your own damn money and not ask me for
No one asked you to do this fucking tour.
And actually, it's also been called out. It's just a portion of the proceeds is going to that. Not necessarily. I'm sorry, $25. And it's not part of the season pass or whatever that they've sold for this before. I don't know a nice way to say this, but Capcom is fucking this game with the horrible DLC stuff. And, you know, the fact that the story mode wasn't in the game when it launched was really a screw up. And yes, look, I've heard all the defense about, well, you know, they wanted to get it out so that it was available for the fighting game circuit and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, to catch on with a wider audience, which it needs to do in order to be successful, that was a bad decision. It was a very bad decision. The fighting tour thing could have waited another year, in my opinion. Maybe people who follow that scene more closely or participate in that scene would strongly disagree, but I kind of think Street Fighter V has shot itself in the foot as a result, and this really doesn't help the situation. Are the Street Fighter odd number games just cursed? And the even is this a Star Trek? Maybe that was a Freudian slip at the beginning there, because is this like a Star Trek thing where the even numbered ones are good and the odd number ones?
Who knows?
Because that's what I'm starting to think. So, anyhow, next story.
Well, I'm sure everyone has seen this thing going around. I've been calling it the Chibi Nintendo. They're putting out a Nintendo Entertainment System that is small enough to fit easily in the palm of your hand. It has, you can get, has a controller, and it comes with, 30 games loaded on it. Dan and I both thought that the game list was kind of odd, just because there are some definite licenses on there that I don't know if it's maybe that they still have, like, distribution licenses for those particular titles or what. But it's supposed to be out on November 11th for a suggested retail of $59.99. Means I'm totally going to have like five of them. Well, no, I actually just want one to put on my desk to be a cute Nintendo to be on my desk.
Oh, you're going to buy a $60 paperweight.
Yeah, why not?
I love it.
I have a whole room full of expensive paperweights. They're called all of my other consoles.
Yeah, I guess I can't talk. I have a Mega Yarn Yoshi, and it's not much cheaper than $60. And what does it do? It just sits there and looks pretty.
Has the functionality of a paperweight.
Shut up.
Well, some of the games that are going to be on the list, of course, we have The Legend of Zelda, Metroid, Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, and Kirby's Adventure. Of course, Super Mario Brothers. Some of the other ones that struck me as a bit odd, you've got some Capcom licenses. You have Mega Man 2. And you have Ghosts and Goblins. You've also got some Konami licenses like Castlevania and Castlevania 2. You've also got Super C. Actually, Zelda 2 is on there as well. Tecmo Bowl. We also have Star Tropics, Kid Icarus, Ice Climber. So Galaga is on the list too. So the thing about... Now, this is the thing that I also think is cool, is that you get the NES Classic controller. You can buy a second one for $10. But you can also connect it to a Wii remote, and you can use it to play Virtual Console NES games on a Wii U or a Wii. So that's a little bit of extra incentive just to get the controllers. So take it what you will, but I think that's pretty cool news.
That is pretty cool. I did not realize that whole controller functionality. That's pretty cool. I do like that. I don't know. I'm on the fence with this. When I first heard about it, I admit, I wrote a tweet that was like, "I why do I want this? I have a Wii U, and I've bought half these games already on Virtual Console. I don't understand why I would want this." But the more I'm thinking about it, there's a couple things with it. Is that, A, it is a pretty solid lineup of games. I find it really weird that Nintendo has pretty much come out and even said they're not going to expand on it, which seems, I mean, this seems like a lost opportunity.
Exactly.
To me, whatever.
Why is there no store interface to purchase NES Virtual Console games with storage on there? I mean,
but here's the other thing that is starting to sway me a little bit. Loki, what's one of the biggest sayings we always say on this show? Hacker's going to hack.
Right.
So this thing is not going to be limited to just 30 games.
Nope.
Let me tell you.
Not in the least.
Well, the other thing I do want to point out is that the games that are on it are going to have multiple suspend points, so you don't need to use your passwords. You can just save your game and walk off.
which Virtual Console will do, to be fair.
I will tell you this. You know what I would like is the ability. I mean, actually, not just the ability. I would like for all of the games that had been disc-based to have the disc emulation in it.
Yes.
So that we get like
the extra soundtrack and everything.
Exactly.
Heck yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's a comparison out there. Like the difference in the Legend of Zelda music, for example, is pretty night and day. For people who have, yeah, if you don't mind looking for it real quick, for people who haven't heard the Famicom disc versus the cartridge versions, it really is pretty different. It's sort of like what the Master System music sounded like with the FM chip.
Okay, I think this is one. Again, I'm going into these videos blind, which I don't like to do here on OLR, but
we appreciate your running the risk for us.
Let's see what I don't know if this is just somebody talking about it. Let me see. Oh no, that's the opening on the Famicom. Yeah, you can definitely hear subtle differences in that, right?
Some more harpsichordy.
Let me see if I can find some other examples there from Zelda. Let's see. There's Final Dungeon.
I think Metroid was also.
Ooh, let me see if I can find the Metroid one, because yeah, Metroid's pretty cool too.
Yeah, but that would be my hope. I mean, probably not going to do it that way, but it's absolutely. Absolutely what I would want.
Let's see. Here's Metroid on. Familiar. It's not. When you can hear subtle differences.
When you get into the actual melody after this.
Let me turn this down a little bit. Sorry, guys. A little loud. Let me see. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. It's very. I mean, but there's not a lot of instruments
it's
in this.
Subtle.
Let me. I can definitely hear subtleties. Let me go to a different
song. You can tell here.
Honestly, this one sounds very similar. That one sounds exactly the same, I gotta be honest.
But the biggest one, though, that I knew off the top of my head was Zelda.
Yeah, Zelda definitely had the... Fifth Dream says play Kraid. Let me look.
Kraid I know was different.
343. Let's try this.
When it gets into the...
It sounds very familiar. I don't know if Metroid's the best example.
But Zelda definitely is.
Yeah.
So, but anyway...
Yeah, definitely the Zelda one, I definitely heard it.
But I would love if it had the Famicom disc music.
I know. Didn't Castlevania or...
Yeah, Castlevania 3, I think, had some...
Definitely had some different music to it. Let me see if I can quickly find... Oh, you can even hear just like the subtle and the triangulation. It doesn't sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can definitely hear it in the this one. Mm. Anyway. Little bit of Famicom disc history there, if you didn't know that. It had the extra sound on it. So, cool.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, that would be cool if we could get some of that emulation. Just even if it's just like a little Easter egg or something like that. But I'm guessing that's not going to be part of it. So, Anyway, but I think I probably will end up getting one. And looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Brad from Pop Culture says...
I was thinking of Castlevania too, by the way. I thought that... I know one of them was on disc.
Brad from Pop Culture says, Sky, because it's cute... Yeah, probably it would have to be part of the reason I would have to get it. Dark Tetsuya is pointing out, with Virtual Console, they give you one restore point. This one sounds like it will have more than one. So that's pretty cool. Stoppy said they teased that there could be filter options and that sort of stuff. So maybe there is the chance they'll include extra sound effects. So who knows? We'll see. Anyway, let's move on with some more news. Loki.
It'd be kind of cool if like they did that with like a Game Boy one. Like, have like a... portable system that's a Game Boy with 30 games built in?
Well, if this does well, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before the Super Nintendo one comes out or a Game Boy one comes out. And I got to say, you know, it is a pretty clever way for Nintendo to still bring in some money this holiday season when the NX ain't happening. So, you know, props to Nintendo for figuring out how to make a quick buck when the NX didn't happen this year. I mean, it's not going to be as much money as the NX, but this is... Yeah, she just said she'd buy five.
It's going to be funny when this outsells the NX.
Shut up.
At least he'll outsell the Wii U. So, I mean, is that... So speaking of the little system, you know, there's a lot of people that are interested in it, including, you know, some people that may have worked at other game companies. Like, for example, Phil Spencer of Xbox thinks it's absolutely a great idea to have this system, and, you know, retro hardware is a cool way to do it. And that's his opinion on it. And that's all I've got.
Well, you know what's interesting about that whole thing, though, is that Microsoft not that long ago put out the Rare Replay, which was 30 classic games for $60. So, and when it's funny enough because kind of reading that and putting it into perspective actually kind of made me go, okay, maybe this is something I could just carelessly drop the money on, because I did buy that Rare Replay thing, and it isn't even a cute little.
At the very least, you get the classic controller that you can go and play your, you know, NES games.
That's true. I didn't realize that at first.
And if you want additional ones, only $10. So
I'll probably end up getting one because I'm a consumer whore. So there it is. Going back on my tweet,
we'll see. I kind of want one. But then again, I can't have access to the TV, so I don't know how well that's going to end up working.
Well, with an HDMI cable, you could hook it up to a computer monitor.
I really wish that my laptop, and pretty much any laptop that are out there, had the ability to like switch to like an external video source, because that'd be so goddamn convenient. Like, hey, I want to run a video in, you know, from my PlayStation to my laptop screen. Boom, there, it's done. That'd be awesome. But no, they don't have that.
Well, I'm thinking I'll probably end up getting one, and I think even the perspective on Microsoft and Rare Replay maybe even sold me on that. Who knows? Switching gears here a little bit, World of Warcraft back in the news again all these years later. You know, that game's been out quite a while. There's a new expansion for World of Warcraft on the horizon. Legion is out, what, the end of August? Right, Darsaga? You've been playing more.
Yeah, I've actually kind of slacked off on my World of Warcraft, but I need to put in my order.
I think I will be coming back to WoW in anticipation of Legion, just because I have to check it out. But here's where I'm torn. You know, I'm still playing Final Fantasy 14, and they have a mini patch this week, but it's something I've really been looking forward to, and it's called the Deep Dungeon, and I'm really looking forward to that. So I think it really just depends. How much I enjoy that feature will dictate when I come back to WoW, sooner rather than later or later. So we'll see. Anyway, but speaking of World of Warcraft, they are going to be testing a new silence penalty, which honestly sounds like something they could have used about 10 years ago, but better late than never, I suppose. So here's the deal. Blizzard's going to implement a new silence penalty that will punish users with multiple reports of chat abuse or posting spam. If an investigation by the team finds that the complaints are valid, there's going to be an account-wide silence penalties. They can't just roll into the character and get around it. You will get a notification when you try to send a message in a channel where you're restricted. The silence player will have limited chat functionality with others in WoW, but you will not be able to talk in instant chat, including Battlegrounds. You can't coordinate with people in Battlegrounds anymore if you get silenced. You can't talk in global channels. You can't create calendar invites, send in-game mail, party invitations, war game invitations, dual invitations, and you can't update a pre-made group listing or create a new one. So it sounds like you can join others, but you can't create your own. If you get a silence penalty, you can still whisper your friends and receive whispers from people not on your friends list. But that is that. That is going to be included in the pre-expansion patch for Legion. I think what I heard is that the silence penalty starts at 24 hours, the first offense, and doubles each time you get a new one. So it'll double to 48. Then it doubles to, 96. Then it doubles to 190. You know, it keeps doubling and doubling and doubling. So if you don't shut the fuck up, you're going to be silenced for a very long time. And again, this game needed that about 10 years ago, but better late than never. I'll be curious to see if they can actually police a lot of that silence stuff, or if it's going to be a very automated thing. We'll know. SSG100 Matt asking in chat, do we know if this expansion will be the last one? Probably not. They released what, like 20 expansions for EverQuest. And EverQuest never had an audience as big as World of Warcraft. So I don't see why they won't continue to keep releasing expansions for World of Warcraft. They probably even need to be doing them a little faster, but we'll see. So, all right, moving on. Let's get to another story here from Dark Soccer, and then we'll get to release dates.
Well, kind of not yet classic, but a good game, is Dead Rising. You know, basically Night of the Living Dead, the game, pretty much. The game is being re-released on PS4. They found it by finding the trophy list available. So it was confirmed that Dead Rising 4 is going to be for PlayStation 4, which is also notable that the original was an exclusive to Xbox 360. So this is the first time you're going to see this game on that system. So pretty cool stuff right there. And of course, we're going to have another Dead Rising game that's going to be coming out later for a limited exclusive on Xbox One with the PS4 release coming afterwards. So good stuff.
That's kind of fun to have this be good all over again. Also reminds us that the first game was the best game in the series, in my opinion. So,
to register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase KISS.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some things that are coming a little sooner than this Dead Rising release or even Dead Rising 4. What's coming out this week in the U.S., Logie?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. This week we've got 10 Second Ninja X on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Vita. We have I Am Setsuna on PC and PlayStation 4. The Assembly on PC and then also VR platforms, the Rift and the Vive. And that's about it. Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. There's also the Friday releases. Human Fall Flat on PC and Starbound is coming to PC, Mac, and Linux.
All right, traveling to Japan. In Japan, from Compile Heart on the PlayStation 4, Kurobara no Valkyrie is coming out in a regular and limited edition on July the 21st. So I'm sure there'll be some folks that are into that. Also on the Wii U, no release. Actually, Wii U is really a tumbleweed. I don't think there's anything to report in Japan on that system for a while. But on the PlayStation Vita, you have Ease 8. Lacrimosa of Donna comes out this week in regular and premium. Who knew that this game was still fucking going, but it is. Ease 8 is out on the PlayStation Vita this week, as well as Gendai Daisen Ryaku 2016 comes out this week, and Shinshaku Tsurugi no Machi no Ihujin Kuro no Kayuden comes out. It's some type of novel bundle set, so I think you get the game and like a visual novel with this. So that's, I guess, kind of cool. And then lastly, on the 3DS this week, just one game, Sumiko Gurashimura wo Sukurun Desu comes out this week. And I'm not sure what that is. It kind of looks like a cute little Animal Farm Sim type game, but all the art is in the same style as the Cat Butt game on iPhone. What the hell is that game called? Neko Atsume? Cat Butt game?
Neko Atsume.
Yes. This looks like that, but a farming game. It looks really adorable. Look at this box art. Doesn't that look cute?
Kitties.
Well, they're not all kitties. That one's a penguin.
I don't care, kitties.
It's a fat penguin eating a pickle. It's me.
Oh my God, Rob. Are you a fat penguin eating a pickle?
I think that is, when somebody asks you what is your spirit animal, I'm just going to point to this box art and be like, it's me.
Aw.
So there it is. How about the UK?
In the UK, just stuff on the 20th, which is Zombie Night Terror. And that's pretty much it.
Guess it's a slow week. Just a couple more stories for you guys.
Yep.
And then the classic...
Sorry, we've got Pokemon to play.
They're a little busy with that right now. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week, Loki.
So Valve has finally responded to the whole controversy with this Counter-Strike Go gambling nonsense. And so there's actually a response from Eric Johnson of Valve, basically saying, you know, in 2011 they added the feature that now enabled people to be able to trade in-game items. Since a number of gambling sites are using this Steam trading system, and there's been some false assumptions about our involvement with these sites, we'd like to clarify. We have no business relationships with any of these sites. We have never received any revenue from them, and Steam does not have a system for turning in-game items into real-world currency. And basically saying that these sites have basically pieced together the operations in a two-part fashion. First, they're using the OpenID API, and then second, you know, basically creating automated, you know, Steam accounts that make web calls as individual Steam users. And then along with that, basically saying that, you know, they're going to kind of start striking down on these. They're going to send, you know, basically cease and desist to these sites to kind of curb this thing. Basically, you know, saying that, you know, using the system for that purpose is not going to be tolerated. So, neat. We'll see some sort of response from them, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think Valve was under a lot of pressure to give her an official response to the situation. I'm kind of glad they're really kind of putting out their low I don't say zero tolerance, but very low tolerance for this. Stoppy in chat says, I wish YouTube would respond to the CSGO controversy now. That's funny. A human at YouTube. That's good. No, look, I get your frustration. I really do. I'm not laughing at you. It's just I echo the frustration of YouTube doesn't seem to have live human beings that work at it. That's the perception I have anyway. Hey, let's talk about Final Fantasy 15, because I know I'm looking forward to Final Fantasy 15, and it's not that far away at this point. It's really what? It's less than 3 months at this point? Getting there?
Yeah, it's on the 19th of September, I think.
September, so yeah, wow, we're getting there. Anyhow, apparently there were rumors circulating in the past that Final Fantasy 15 would be coming out for the NX. However, the director of Final Fantasy 15, Hajime Tabata, has said that they are not considering an NX version of the game.
Not surprised.
Yeah, but they're not hating on NX. They did say... Pardon me. They did say they have high expectations for NX, and they're looking forward to you know, the upcoming Zelda game and all that good stuff. But they did not indicate that Final Fantasy 15 would come out for NX. Which, honestly, if the NX is going to be months after 15 comes out, I honestly think that's a good thing. What was the Wii U's biggest problem? All the launch games were things that had fucking come out like six months prior.
Well, on top of that, though, I have a suspicion that they haven't even... The specs of the NX are still kind of up in the air. Like, I don't think that they know what the specs are on this thing. So how do you develop for a platform that you're not really sure what the specs are going to be? I mean, I guess that's kind of how you do that for new platforms, but at least they have some sort of target. But Nintendo and some of the comments I'm hearing, you know, how they're like, oh, maybe we're now considering VR and stuff. It's like, do they really have an idea of what this is going to be? Is that why it hasn't been revealed yet? Because it's like, fuck, we don't know what it's... I don't know. It could be an SNES Mini inside that thing.
And an interesting... Speaking of games coming out for the NX, just a very interesting tweet. Somebody had tweeted at Dennis Dyack, who, you know, he's kind of out there commentating on things sometimes, but he's the CCO at Quantum Entanglement Entertainment. And somebody had actually asked him, like, hey, I loved that game. It was awesome. Speaking of Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes HD, could it get remade for Nintendo NX because the GameCube was in HD? And Dennis Dyack responded, thanks for the kind words. If the demand is high enough, I'm sure something could be done, which I'm sure a change.org petition has probably already been made thanks to that tweet. But to be fair, and, you know, no disrespect to Dennis, but that is really the canned answer you give a fan who's asking if X game will end up on Y platform. Well, if there's enough demand for it, I suppose anything's possible. That is the very generic, canned, polite response.
Fuck no, you're not getting shit.
That is the most...
I don't care if you liked it. I don't fucking like you. You get fucking nothing.
I think we need a new segment on this show in the near future where Loki translates politically correct tweets.
No comment. Shit. Or we don't comment about our business or rumors and speculation. Ah, fuck. They found out.
Okay. Please look forward to it. Buy our games, really.
I think on a future episode that's going to be a segment. Loki translates politically correct tweets. What do you guys think?
I'd say commercially
canned. Loki speaks PR.
What do you think?
Yeah, Loki speaks PR.
Loki speaks PR.
I vote for it.
All right. Breakman in chat says Loki is the most politically correct person ever. Yeah. Dark Tetsuya says fund it. Does that mean we get to launch a Kickstarter for it? Are you saying, Dark Tetsuya, that we should start a Patreon and only if we get 20 a month will Loki translate the tweets? What?
We should do a Patreon anyway.
It's just going to be the Slurpee Fund. That's all it is.
Your money will go to fund birthday cake Slurpees.
Oh, God, no. We're gonna have actual Slurpees that are delicious and not this birthday cake abomination. I mean, because if the people are like, you know,
but
latching
Loki,
on the
if they give like $50 a month, Loki will be forced to like the birthday cake Slurpee.
No, I won't. Thank God it's just for limited time for their stupid anniversary.
I just like that stuff I got from Taco Bell.
All right. Anyhow, SSGO 100 Matt says, we're going to make Slurpees great again.
That's impossible. They're already great. I mean, they're a little less great with the birthday cake flavor, but hey, you have options, so that's fine.
You know what's great? It was banana Slurpees.
Okay, wait. Okay. Yes, I agree with you, and that was the flavor I full-on intended getting at 7-Eleven until I saw it had been replaced with birthday cake. Here's the choice you have to make. You have to drink one. Will you drink the birthday cake Slurpee or the Diet Coke Slurpee?
No, I don't think so. I don't even identify that as a Slurpee option.
So the birthday cake Slurpee in that scenario.
I guess. I don't know. That's tough. It's like, why a Diet Coke Slurpee? That's just stupid. I'm on a diet! I mean, come on. Come on.
Let's travel to a time when things were much simpler. You had Coke and Cherry. If you didn't like it, go fuck yourself. Those were your Slurpee options.
If you were lucky, you could combine them.
It's the classic game of the week, where Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find the game that she thinks, hey, stop drinking your Slurpee, you're going to get the controller sticky.
Which invariably happened with this particular machine at my college.
All right, so what is the classic game of the week?
Cyber Sled.
Wait, Cyber Slut?
No, not Cyber Slut. Rob. Jeez, Rob, get your head out of the gutter.
Cyber Sled.
It came out in 1993, done by Namco, and it was a two-player, third-person shooter vehicle game. Where you played in hovering tanks. And basically, I'd even like to consider this as one of the big inspirations for one of my favorite series, which was Virtual On, where it's just a big arena two-player deathmatch. And you've got all kinds of obstacles to block your path and protect you from the other people. And it is a pretty wide, expansive arena that you have as well, but you're also equipped with like guns and missiles, and each of the different tanks have different strengths and weaknesses. You of course have one that's very heavily armed and armored but slow. You have one that's got high armor, high, you know, firepower, but you know, might be lacking in another thing. You've got the ones that are really fast but weak armor and weak, you know, guns, that type of thing. So, this game, okay. When I started at the University of South Alabama in college, this was in our little dinky game room, and we played the shit out of this. This was the game of choice when someone else was on Killer Instinct. So you also, the thing I liked is that you do had the two twin stick controller. You also had a finger and thumb trigger on each of them for, you know, your bullets or for your missiles. And the twin analog stick, I think, is a really good method of control for that. Because it's really an instinctive type of play. But, you know, other things that you can do is you can get power-ups in the game, like improved radar, extra missiles, shield recharges, you can also like I said, you can actually get certain obstacles and different things destroyed as well through other things in the game. The cabinet was, for the arcade version, was a dedicated sit-down cabinet with a red side and a blue side. Had a seat for each player, and then you had just your view, which you could either change from cockpit to behind the machine. It got, I wouldn't say very great ratings for not being very original, and definitely not being very impressive graphically, but it was a lot of fun to play. It was fast-paced, and something that was really good for, I'd say, versus play. So it definitely took a lot of my cash when I was in college, and Cyber Sled it is. And that's your game.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week.
Before I forget, PlayStation release came out in Japan on January 27th, 95, and in North America, October 18th,
95. All right. Cyber Sled it is for the PlayStation 1.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, although, honestly, not as many news stories left, so we're going to get to things like the mailbag a little bit faster, and your calls, which hopefully there'll be plenty of tonight, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. We are going to take a quick break, however, we will be back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 650 for this July the 17th of 2016, already in progress. Episode 650, my gosh. And it looks like episode 666 may be a real possibility, and it's probably going to be around the holidays.
I think it might be around Thanksgiving.
Really?
It may actually, it's in November from what I can
tell. Right. All right. Well, we'll see. Don't forget, it gets bumped back because of I won't be here Dragon Con week, and inevitably we'll miss another week somewhere. We just, you know, things happen. So I wouldn't doubt that we will have the Orange Lounge Radio Satanic Holiday Spectacular. I'm not sure what happens during that, and I've got to be careful that, you know, we don't get too crazy and make people think we actually worship Satan, but we can have a lot of fun with it nonetheless. So we'll figure out what we're going to do, because I have no idea yet. Again, I really just want Travis Donovan to record something for the show as DJ Satan. That is my one. That's my Christmas miracle is what I'm requesting. So we'll see if that I actually get that or not. But in all seriousness, I mean, 650, that's I don't know if there is a weekly podcast. I mean, there's certainly daily or multi-weekly podcast. I mean, even Critical Myth here on the VOG Network three times a week is way past that at this point. But I'm not sure if there is a weekly podcast out there that is as high as 650 episodes. And just, you know, it's really you guys to thank for that and all the support over the years and giving us that incentive to just keep us going. And I'd also like to thank the wine that's powering my ramblings tonight. Thank you very much. And the Norco that's powering Jamie's
See,
thoughts.
The Patreon can go towards the wine account, too, you know?
That's true.
It's really just
the
a beverage.
The Norco's making my ass sleepy, so aww. I'm sorry.
All right, try not to do a cat nap during the show. All right. Well, we actually have a little less news than usual in this segment just because it's a bit of a slower news week, honestly. So we will get to your calls probably sooner rather than later, as well as your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio. Am I really
close enough?
Am I really that real housewife of whatever city, state, USA right now that just drinking wine and slurring words? I guess I am. All right, let's get to some rapid fire news. Loki.
So why not? I mean, I guess Twitch has played everything else, and they even played Pokemon, so it's only, you know, fitting that they play Pokemon Go. And how may Twitch play Pokemon Go, you might ask, since Twitch is not a human being, and we haven't really developed, you know, some sort of Android to walk around. But they're doing that with an emulated version of Android, and basically, or I'm sorry, it's actually an iPhone. So it's on a real iPhone, and it's simulating the touch events based off of the screen. So the screen, they have it broken up into like a grid, kind of like an Excel or something like that. And you would type, you know, tap, you know, and the coordinates for that or move in a certain direction. And then, of course, the GPS is being spoofed. They started off in, you know, Central Park in New York, and it's just kind of going around and doing all that.
I do have to criticize something I'm seeing on Twitch, though, and that is that, you know, Shane was over here last night. We were doing the Pokestop podcast, and then we were watching some Twitch streams, and I was kind of surprised, like, wow, Pokemon Go is, like, a really popular thing that's being streamed right now. Although I noticed that a lot of the streams, not all, because some people were doing fancy things to their tablets to make it work so that they were out in the real world playing this game and streaming, and I think that's really cool, but there were people out there with lots of viewers that were spoofing location, playing on an emulator, fake. And I think Twitch should ban their asses. I think Niantic should really be banning their asses. Well, and I understand Niantic has server problems to worry about, but these guys are being really fucking bold.
Okay, so like here's the thing. I love like certain, you know, YouTube series and everything like that. There's one that I watch frequently called Linus Tech Tips, and they're these I want to say they're Canadians, and they're pretty cool guys. Like, you know, they have a lot of cool tech news stuff. But with that, they had a tip section about, you know, how to cheat in Pokemon Go, and it's talking about spoofing your location. And their thing right now is, yeah, you could get banned, but right now they're trying to put out all the server fires that they're not really paying attention to that right now. So go hog wild while you can. Which,
just so you know, Niantic recently banned a bunch of people from Ingress and even some false flags, unfortunately, for cheating, for spoofing. So if you think you're getting away with it now, I think you're being really fucking bold doing it on Twitch TV. And asking for fucking donations while you're doing it.
And just because
they're not, I hope Niantic fucking bans you.
And because
you
they're
fast.
Not banning you now doesn't mean they're not flagging your account for a ban later on once they do put out all these server fires.
Sorry, but I'm sorry. I find that shit to be really disingenuous, and it's just really irritating that people are watching it, supporting it, and giving these people money.
Right. They have apps like on iOS and stuff like that, that basically you don't even have to move. It's just like you push a direction on the thing and it'll walk, and you can walk around like that.
But now people that are out in the real, I want to make this clear, people that are out in the real world doing a complicated setup with their tablets so they can stream and all that stuff, that's awesome, and those are the people that should be watched on Pokemon Go. That's cool. You guys keep doing what you're doing. The fakers, the cheaters, the spoofers, get fucked.
I just don't know how, like, I don't get it why that would be entertaining, watching people play Pokemon Go, because I've watched people try to play Ingress, like in a YouTube video and stuff that shows people like going on, like, we're going on an op or something like that, and it was the most boring shit ever. It's just fucking people sitting in a car playing Ingress, and it's just, no.
I only like the really awkward, I'm going to die of secondhand embarrassment parking lot fight videos from Ingress of the people fighting in parking lots over portals, where I'm like, I am fucking embarrassed for both of you right now. It's bad. Like, I'll send you some links if you want to see. It's pretty bad. Like,
yeah, it's just, it's weird. I mean,
go into chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Breakman says, Sky is an angry drunk. LOLJK. Well, sometimes. VXJSnxV, our awesome voiceover guy here at the show, says, all the people that played Fallout 4 before Street Date come to mind. That is true. Unless you had permission. And some reviewers and sometimes some high traffic streamers and stuff do get permission to break street from companies, but obviously that was not one of the cases, and that's a very good correlation. But I do have to point out, sometimes people do get special permission, and if they have that permission, then cool. If any of these Pokemon Go people do have permission to be doing what they're doing, then I'm sorry,
yeah, probably not,
I stand corrected, but I really don't think you do. And then let's see, Immortal King says, wow, dumb enough to broadcast your cheating. Yeah, right? And I believe it is in the Twitch thing that you can't use, and you're not supposed to use emulators or stream things that you don't legally own. I understand that Pokemon Go is a free game, and so
yeah, but
you
that's
know.
The thing. It's like, you know, what's granted, yeah, you shouldn't be doing it, but there's not really anything stopping you from doing it. It's a free-to-play game that you cost no money. The instructions are online to run it on BlueStacks. Create a brand new Google account. Done. I mean,
I have a problem when people spoof their location. I realize that there's not a lot you can do with that, but you are going to Pokestops you're not at and getting gear you're not supposed to be getting. You are fighting gyms that you're not supposed to be fighting that real people are at trying to win. And that's where I draw the fucking line. Like, if you want to sit in your house and not move from your spot, then I guess I have less of a problem. But I just think that's that stream's going to be a little bit boring. So I'm not sure that's what people are doing, because sitting on your couch. You know what? I will say this. I did see a guy who was, I'm doing a stream where I am just going to power evolve like all my characters tonight, and I'm going to show you how I'm doing that and all that. That's fine, I guess. I didn't find it to be the most riveting thing in the world, but okay, because they're not cheating, so I'm okay with that. But it's the spoofing location. I realize it's not as big a crime in Pokemon Go as it is in Ingress, but I'm sorry.
Or even
people that are at the location should not have to fight people that
aren't
there.
It'd be kind of funny, like someone that's sitting in like in a building outside of like Central Park or like a bit, you know, like a park area. I'm going to spoof this account or whatever to drop lures on all of these sealed locations, and then I'm going to film the people rushing towards.
I don't know about that. All right. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to turn a rapid fire news story into something longer, but I had a thing or two to say on that.
All right. So the next big thing in virtuality is coming, and that is, yes, it's a Rick and Morty game, Rick and Morty Virtual Rickality. And it's being developed in partnership with Adult Swim Games and Alchemy Lab, and that's owl as in, you know, the bird, for the HTC Vive, and it looks awesome. I guess it's sort of like a job simulator type game. And actually, that makes sense, because their last game that the company did was Job Simulator, so.
I guess they're a good fit for it.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Well, if you're enjoying Overwatch as much as I am, you're probably very excited to know that Anna has been announced as a playable character in the game. That is going to be the first free additional kit, because they're not doing DLC. It's a new Overwatch hero that's they're going to add to the game. It is Pharah's mother. So what makes this really awesome is that she's like an old lady of Arab descent without an eye. So now, if you remember the OLR Dream Games, if you were to go back and visit the OLR Dream Games, one of the OLR Dream Games we had suggested a long time ago was a game called Grandma's Got a Gun. And I would think that Overwatch introducing Anna like half meets that qualification.
Yeah, but Grandma's Got a Gun was just supposed to be the license-free version of like a shooter, you know, twin-stick shooter based on Golden Girls.
Yes. So this is only halfway there, because I don't know if Anna likes cheesecake or not. But I still think this is really awesome that, you know, it's especially as I'm getting a little bit older, and, you know, we all are here at Orange Lounge Radio, as we've been doing this for 14 years. It's nicer to see older people represented in video games. So I think that is kind of awesome. And it's cool that she's just a sniper healer. She has a sniper rifle, and she can use that to heal or damage folks. And I think that's pretty awesome. Blizzard does the character design thing very, very, very well. And so it's really cool to see that Anna's just another well-designed character that brings some new stuff to the table for the game. I want to mention Evolve. Last week we mentioned that Evolve was going free-to-play. And apparently the free-to-play thing working out pretty well for developer Turtle Rock. Apparently the peak concurrent users in June for Evolve, before the game went free-to-play, the peak concurrent users totaled 234 at its peak. Yeesh. Well, Turtle Rock has picked up over 1 million new players on PC thanks to the free-to-play transition of Evolve. So you know what? That's pretty awesome. So congrats to the team there. And even I think I have to check that out at some point. We'll see. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, for fans of Killer Instinct, they have announced the final DLC character for Season 3, and that is going to be Idol, which I was watching the trailer for that today. It was pretty crazy. So it will be, of course, Killer Instinct is available on Xbox One and Windows 10. And there will also be the Killer Instinct Definitive Edition that will have all 26 players. I found a typo in this article from the past and not passed 3 seasons. I'm going to email them. And then in other news, there is a big download coming up for the Wii U. We have some more TurboGrafx-16 stuff. We have Chroma Blast, Jackpot 777, Reptilian Rebellion, and Tumblestone on Wii U. For Virtual Console, there's Bonk's Adventure, New Adventure Island, and R-Type. Yes. Freaking love R-Type.
That's the first time they're getting TurboGrafx games, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
3DS is getting 7th Dragon 3 Code VFD, Monster Hunter Generations. There's also, for download, Journey to Cressia. Final Fight's coming out to 3DS, Virtual Console, and then a bunch of Monster Hunter themes. So lots of other sales coming up, but I won't go into all of them.
All right. Very cool. Well, this is the part of the show where we would get into the Fugle question of the week. However, once again, I failed, and I forgot to post a stupid Fugle question of the week because I'm an idiot. I'm thinking... And I don't know, and I'm going to pitch this live on air, which I didn't warn my co-hosts about. Maybe we ought to invite somebody else who might be really wanting to do this type of thing for our show, a longtime listener supporter, to be like our social media person. You know what? Doesn't every big company get like a social media manager type of thing in that thing now? Maybe OLR needs a longtime fan to run our Facebook and our Google Plus communities and, you know, post funny memes and do things like that. What do you guys think? Does OLR need a social media manager because Rob keeps fucking failing at it? Maybe. Sure. And that may or may not have something to do with the fact I have 4 podcasts right now and maybe a 5th soon.
We'll go to Patreon.
Why a 5th?
Huh? What?
I said, why a 5th?
Because Jamie and I may or may not have been talking about something for a little while.
And I might be doing another one too with little Jamie.
You know who's not having a podcast? This guy right here. Not doing a podcast.
This is the one and only.
Thought about doing a podcast because I have to have something to do while my wife is watching Grey's Anatomy, but nah, probably not. So I only have my garage to record in, and it's dirty and has boxes everywhere, and there's cat vomit on the floor. And
yeah. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Rob's like, Vogue hosts podcast now, so it's easy to make a new one. I have created a monster. To be fair, Bobby, if you'd told me that thing wasn't ready... I would have just done it the way we've done some of the other shows because I was really hell-bent on making that idea happen. It just would have happened slowly. It probably still wouldn't be out. So Bobby has definitely helped that. Help us strike when the iron is hot on Pokemon, that is for sure. Immortal King in chat says, Rob is the Walt Disney of podcast. I think I take that as a compliment, except there were some rumors about Walt Disney that weren't so hot. So as long as I don't have any of those traits, then we're fine. As long as we're sticking with the imagination part of Walt Disney, then I accept. And
no, we're not going there.
when the show inevitably ends and I inevitably pass away, you are to sever my frozen head and bury it under Studio N7. Sound like a deal?
No, because then I gotta like jackhammer and just gonna throw it over the fence.
I did always say if I were to pass away before my prime, my request is that you put me into a catapult and you fling me against my place of work building during the lunch hour. That is my one request. I realize you might need a permit. You might need some clearance, but that would be my request. That's the funeral I want. That's the burial I want. I want you to fling my corpse from a catapult at the building during the lunch hour. It's my one request. Thank you very much. All right. Of course, I would like to live to be, you know, 100 years old and healthy as well. That would be great. JD is asking, onto a window or not? Preferably the break room window would be preferred, but if, you know...
Through a window.
I realize that the wind and everything might make that complicated, but put Loki in charge. He played enough tank wars in his life. He ought to be able to know the appropriate angle and power to use.
Through a window, and then we'll like he'll land on an office chair, which with the momentum that you'll have, you know, laterally, he'll be able to roll across the, you know, floor. That should be fine.
And Dark Tetsuya says, will someone be blasting in like a wrecking ball or whatever that Miley Cyrus song is? Yes, you are to blast that song on a loudspeaker. Again, you might need a permit, but I would love that if right with the chorus, I came in like a wrecking ball.
No, they're going to be like, listen, you're not allowed to do that here. Turn that music off. Now go ahead and continue with flinging the dead body.
All right.
This is a place of work. We will not be having that song here.
Let's get it back into some other news now that we had our... See, in light of the Fugu question of the week this week, you got talk about my funeral. It's very morbid. I don't know if I... Again, I'd like to live to be 100 years old.
And podcast hoarding.
Yeah, and my podcast hoarding. That's right. You know what? I can't help it. But if you ask me what TV shows I watch, nothing. I shouldn't admit this, but I'm going to. I watch Chelsea on Netflix before bed the nights that there's a new episode. That is it.
Email has been submitted with correction.
I hear Stranger Things is pretty good.
I have heard that's pretty good, too. Isn't that a scary one, though? I don't like scary ones.
Yeah, but it's like 80s scary with like Winona Ryder and stuff.
Oh, I love Winona Ryder. Okay, that's okay. 80s scary is fine, and Winona Ryder's...
It's like they said it has a really big Spielberg vibe.
Okay, Winona Ryder's great. Winona Ryder makes everything better. Winona Ryder was the best thing about the Star Trek movie. How can you not love Winona Ryder? She'll steal your heart.
Why do people feed bread to ducks? It's so bad for them.
I don't know, Jamie. Why do people feed bread to ducks?
Just mad at people. Don't hurt the poor ducks.
Perhaps those people are mad at ducks.
No, don't be mean to ducks. Give them seeds.
Getting back into some video game news and not catapults and bodies and bread ducks.
But bread, it's what ducks crave.
Back into news, Dark Sakura.
Well, okay. So Niantic is working on the issue with Pokemon Go on iOS for full access to Google accounts, which, first of all, wasn't worried about that to begin with. But there is no big reason to be concerned about it. Niantic is working on making sure just the only essential data is there, and to basically put in there for a client-side fix to detect what information is accessed and be able to prevent certain things. So it's in the wording on there. It's an erroneous request. They're really not bothering with any of it. So only it's going to request is the most very basic information. So, like I was telling everyone. Now, and another little thing about Pokemon Go, it's making all Americans learn the metric system. Because, I'm sorry, we are freaking behind in the world. Everywhere the fuck else uses metric. We are the only place left that uses the imperial system. I don't even think England uses the imperial system. So
it is, to be fair, it is, I mean, for distance is one thing, but it is really hard when you've gone your whole life knowing, like, for example, temperature is the big one for me. Mm. Like when it comes to temperature, it's like, okay, 104, I know what that feels like. I know the difference between 104 and 94 and things like that.
I think that's like 40 something degrees Celsius.
And it's like when you hear it in Celsius, like I can't relate the same way. Like it's hard when you've known that your whole life. But I do agree, at least with like distance and Pokemon, it is a little, you know, but again, I don't think I'm going to start necessarily looking at kilometers per hour in my car or anything like that. Like, it's just, it's really hard when you've grown up with it your whole life and that's all you know what I mean? I understand, though, why these other systems are better. I mean, multiples
of 10. That was exactly right.
It's very easy.
104 degrees Fahrenheit is 40 degrees Celsius.
Well, I'm glad you can calculate that shit on the fly because I'm not at the...
I talk to way too many people in Canada. but at any rate, because that's right, all the distances are measured in kilometers. But what's sad is that there's a Google trend searches for how far is 2 kilometers and how far is 5 kilometers spiked after July 6th. So here you go, everyone. There is 0.62 miles in a kilometer. So 2 kilometers is the equivalent to 1.2 miles, and 5 kilometers is 3.1 miles, which I knew that from doing 5Ks. So.
And don't forget about 10-kilometer eggs, which gives you the best Pokemon, would just be, what, 6.2, right?
Yeah.
So.
Do the math.
There it is.
So, this is your math lesson of the day, the more you know.
Bobby Blackwolf says, I think 5K kilometers is the length of a 5K race. IR smart. Yes, good. You did it. You did the thing.
I'm going to take my nap now.
Now, to be fair, charities have been pushing the metric system, or, yeah, have been pushing the system on us for years. with 5K races, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. JD in chat says, now, if only the footsteps distance thingy were fixed, then we'd actually learn it. Yes.
Well, here's the thing that's funny about that, actually. There, in apparently the iPad version of the game, it shows footsteps, but when you tap on it, it shows the actual fucking distances in meters, like it did during the beta. And why it doesn't now is beyond me.
Yeah, it's weird that they changed that from the beta. I don't know why. Yeah, in the beta, you guys, it actually showed the real number. It wasn't exact, so you couldn't totally triangulate. But what, in the original beta, it was rounded to multiples of 50. And then they, in the second beta, like they did an update, it was rounded to multiples of 20.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to this nebulous foot thing, which I believe is just the multiples of 50 again. I think 1 foot is 50, 2 feet is 100.
It's not. It's actually one, if I remember correctly, it's 100 meters, 500 meters, and 1,000 meters.
Oh, wow. That's pretty tough to find.
Maybe. I could be wrong on that, but I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, but Alan's right in chat, live.vognetwork.com. It's bugged right now anyway, which I think is what JD was referring to. It's showing three paws for everything, no matter what it is. So they need to fix that, just so you know.
Now, have you ever noticed, like, when you have, like, a lure, or not lure, incense on, and you do capture one, you can kind of see it running away? Like, it takes, like, a piece of the cloud with it. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, there are funky little things with that.
Yeah. I'm a little angry at Niantic for this, but I guess it's, you know, to be expected because it's so popular, and now, like, a lot of retail locations are wanting to get in on it. But they are taking requests to add new Pokestops and gyms to Pokemon Go, and they have their requests open. Also, they're taking requests for removals. So if you know you don't want your front yard to be a spot for teenagers to hang out in, you can remove it. But then again, you probably did that for Ingress, so it's your own fucking fault in the first place. But why not Ingress?
Well, something interesting along with that, and I just got this in one of my Ingress hangouts 8 minutes ago. And this is something that came out of Japan because they had the last Aegis Nova anomaly in Tokyo, the mega anomaly this weekend, mm-hmm. right? So there was an interview with Kawashima, who is with NIA, and actually said some of these things about the game, talking about level cap and saying that level cap changes may collapse the game balance. So they're going to be deliberate in doing that, but they are considering new metals or functions. We are developing some functions exclusively for level 16, which would contribute to the whole Ingress community. And I wonder if that's portals, but we'll see. Our developing resources were largely occupied by Pokemon Go, so the pace of improving Ingress was rather slow recently. Now engineers are coming back to Ingress. Excuse me, sorry guys. And the pace of adding new features would be brisker. We have a long list of coming tasks and features, so we steadily implement them. And here's the one you want to hear about. New portal submission is temporarily down because of the lack of our resources, but we want to resume it.
At least they're just fixing stuff, because there's like several portals around here. They're like, oh, this is a mural. No, it's not there anymore. Oh, this is a church. It's been taken down. You know, there's like stuff that's just not there anymore that they have portals for still.
We have been discussing about adding a third faction in gameplay, but we cannot promise that for now. I think that would really disrupt the game if they did that. I know it's kind of the fan wank thing in Ingress, but if you want three factions, play Pokemon Go. But we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
It would be very weird because of the transition for these players that have been playing for so long. Like, how's that even going to work?
Just new players, I guess. They'll be a little low level. And then, of course, with any popular game, we saw this with Overwatch, Pokemon porn searches are up. And I guess it makes sense. Up as not as high as Overwatch, because Overwatch is like 1,500, but this is actually 800%. This is actually 336% up between males 18-24. This is, of course, coming from Pornhub.
Looking for Pokeyou.
On top of that, there is a whole new subreddit now, thanks to people and just wanting to be naked on camera. That's right, Pokemon Go NSFW, where the people are using the AR mode to take selfies and dick pics and post them online. So if
somebody was kind enough to point me to a Tumblr of this that was nothing but I'm gonna sound like such trash, but this is just what's on the internet, people, and especially Tumblr. It was dick pics done in Pokemon Go. And so it would just be like, hey, there's a little Pidgey hanging out here, and it's some naked dude, like, right next to that. Like,
right.
I kind of laughed because it's really funny, but it's one of those jokes where it's like, okay, now it's how long is that going to be funny for?
Right. And unfortunately, it's this type of shit that's going to get, you know, media coverage versus all the positive stuff. It's going to be like, oh, there's people shooting porn dick pics in my game.
You gave somebody a camera and somebody made porn with it?
There's dick pics in that Pokemon Go. It's terrible for your children. Don't let them play it. They'll get hit by cars and fall off cliffs. And robbed.
And see titties. That was a bad time for me to hiccup. This is bad. I hate hiccups. All right. Through these hiccups, I'm going to try to tell you about, maybe this can be my talent, is hiccuping on demand for a internet-wide talent show that Twitch is apparently putting together. That's because, of course, Twitch's creative banner has been expanded, and some folks do comedy, music, theater, voice acting, and magic tricks. I had no idea you could do magic tricks on Twitch now. I almost want to start a crappy little magic tricks channel where I do magic tricks really badly. I'm sure somebody's already doing it. I don't know. But anyway, there was a post on the Twitch blog that said, one of the things we heard loud and clear is that there are many other ways streamers would like to share their passion, which is why we're expanding the Twitch creative category to allow streamers to not only create but perform their art. So now creative is basically the world's biggest open mic night. You might be able to land a gig performing at TwitchCon in San Diego. So if you've streamed for at least 4 hours with material related to your act, you can submit an audition video not to exceed 5 minutes in length. And if you're picked, you will not be given travel to SoCal, but as long as you can get there, Twitch will let you in the door for free, get you in a badge, and then I guess you'll get to perform in the Twitch talent show, which will be a part of TwitchCon this year. How about, can I be one of those people? Can my talent be eating all of the food that's in front of me? Because that was the thing we were talking about a couple weeks ago on the show, right? Where the girls that like binge eat, I guess, and dudes too, but that just binge eat all the things in front of them. Can that be my talent?
You binge eat and then projectile vomit onto Pokemon.
Just bring me more of those Cinnabon things from
Taco
Bell.
I was just saying we should just go get some more.
That will be my talent. Watch them just disappear in front of your very eyes. All right, wow. I have the hiccups really bad, so I need to pass things over to Dark Sakura, who's going to open up the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com and read the emails we have this week.
Well, before I do that, William Murderface was asking if there's any way that my old comic book podcast could come back. And that was Monday Comics Mania that I used to do with Tiara.
I thought it was Comics Insanity.
I did do Comics Insanity as well.
Yes.
But I was like, I would love to do a comic podcast, but I don't have a co-host who would do it with me. I tried to see if Captain Spike would do it, but I know he's busy with Game Buoy and other stuff, so.
He's trying to out-podcast whore me, just so you guys know.
Well, then maybe I should talk to him. So, emails, we have all of one, and I will read it to you now in my drugged-up voice. Ready? You want to hear it? Here it go. Hello, LR. I just wanted to provide some information for folks interested in playing DDR Ace at Dave and Buster's in North America. By the time this email is read, all 30 locations scheduled to get the game will have received and installed it. Hopefully. A recent post on Bimani Style lists all 30 locations. If your local DMB didn't get it, but you're able to reach one that did, know that if the game is successful in its initial locations, they have announced plans to add it to more locations next year. So if you're able to get to one of them, please try to make the trip. DMB requires underage guests to be accompanied by someone over the age of 25. Underage is defined as 18 or 21, depending on the location. check their website for more details. The game is presented in brand new cabinets of the latest model with large, gorgeous HD widescreens. The marquee is unique to this North American release. All of the text in this version of the game has been translated into English, except for Japanese song titles, which from what I've heard have been left untranslated. The game will cost 6.8 chips per credit, or between 91 cents and $1.42, depending on the quantity you purchase. Note that all games are at DMB are half-priced on Wednesdays. At every location, DDR Ace is connected to the EMU Smith service. EMU's cards will be on sale at the front desk in each location for $5. I already have one. If you plan to play this game more than once, you'll want a card, as your scores and clear status will be saved automatically, and you'll be able to unlock more songs, and you'll also have access to options and features that are unavailable without one. When you start the game with an EMU's card, you'll be prompted to select either normal or premium play. Premium play will prevent your game from ending if you fail a song. You'll simply go on to the next stage. Also, several modifiers, as well as the ability to earn an extra stage, are exclusive to premium play. In Japan, premium play costs about 20% more Pacelli than a normal play, but DMB doesn't use Pacelli or anything like it. So unfortunately, at this moment, the default setting is for premium play to require 2 credits instead of 1. Blech. That's about everything you need to know to get started. DDR Ace contains 700 songs spanning the series' history.
Jesus.
And you will receive additional songs in the coming months via network updates. I hope you enjoy it. I certainly plan to. Keep on stepping, Aaron YYR.
Thank you for the update, because I've been too busy catching Pokemon to actually go check out DDR Ace, but 700 songs, good golly.
Do I detect a road trip to DMV?
I think we need to make that happen, and...
I know our local closet doesn't have one.
And the Fountains has a shitload of Pokestops, just so you know. So, yeah, I'll go, the machine is really pretty, too. Although, honestly, you and I just need to go to round one, I think, is the real place we need to go to.
I haven't been, so as soon as I get the all clear on my wrist,
yeah,
we need to go.
Do they have DDR Ace yet, the round ones? Do you chatters know? I know Dave & Buster's, I get that, and I guess that is a lot closer. But at some point, I got to get Dark Soccer out there, and that would be fun. So we'll see. Let's see, over at our chat, live.vognetwork.com, SSG100 Matt says, 700 songs, they better turn off the song select timer. And Orange Wright says, yeah, all the round ones do, at least Lakewood and San Jose does. Well, there you go. That's the one I want to know about, so awesome. Yeah, and Breakman says, make sure the wrist is 100% before you risk it. Yes, doctor's orders.
Yeah, see, I'll tell you this. I actually tested to see if I was going to be... Because California Extreme was this weekend as well.
I really wanted to go.
Dan went, but I tried to play pinball the day before to see if my wrist was going to be up to it. And I couldn't have played. It was very sad because apparently the Bimani section was pretty epic this year.
That's sad.
Yeah, there was a para-para second.
That's awesome.
I like to wiggle my butt.
Do you?
Play Deluxe.
Of course. All right, you guys should email us as well. participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Now it's time to get to the FUs of the week.
F you to my wrist being really slow to heal, and I don't know how I'm going to do at work next week or tomorrow, so we'll have to see. But yeah, F you to that. And that's really it. F you to not have any more Cinnabon Delights. That stuff is good.
Loki.
Speaking of Cinnabon, F you to the Cinnabon, frozen Cinnabon thing that I bought from the store that had the dough, the Cinnabon cinnamon, and the, I guess the icing that goes on it. Except it didn't fucking have one of the three things that are required for a Cinnabon, and that would be the cinnamon. That portion of it was fucking missing from the packaging.
It was just a box.
It was just the fucking dough. And I don't even know if the frosting was there. It's like two of the three things. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't even know. I'm like, I fucking want Cinnabon there. And it's like, yeah, you got lucky. It's just missing. It's fucking gone. So, fuck them.
My view of the week goes to these fucking hiccups. This is the worst thing ever during live radio. I shouldn't have drank all that wine
that
fast.
There's a trick. All you have to do is figure out how to change the air pressure in your lungs. And there's a trick they taught us in massage school, but it's kind of complex. But it works.
Yeah, I don't have time for complex issues right now. I'm trying to force myself to burp. That's what usually does it for me. Yeah,
like that?
You. Yeah, like that, basically. So, isn't that classy for radio to be doing right now?
Well, I was just proving it's possible.
Yes, I know. All right. Just a couple more stories, then we're going to open up the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, Loki.
So this is pretty exciting. It's taken a long time, but they have we're getting close to cracking the Sega Saturn. And basically, this is a project that was done by James Lairdois. He's known as Professor of Dr. Abrasive. He's a coder, and he also has created some other like cartridges and stuff for bypasses, different things for the Nintendo Game Boy, and also engineered some flash cards for the Game Boy and some other stuff. But now he has created a plug-in flash card for the Sega Saturn. And originally he did this as part of a way to get access to the sound chip that's on there. Because he wanted to actually use it to kind of, I guess, like run a tracker or something like that. So he's built something that's going to basically replace one of the cards in there, plug into an expansion port that's going to allow him to have access to a lot of the CD drive and all that stuff. So that's pretty awesome. And he's going to release it public, but right now he's still trying to finish it up to the point where basically someone can easily just, you know, plug it in and go and be done. So that'd be pretty cool if they can get that working.
What can we crack the Sega Saturn to do? Just,
I guess. Well, he's making it right now. Like, what he's using it for is basically, you know, to gain access to the sound chip so he can do, like, chiptunes and stuff on there. But,
did you watch the whole video?
I watched most of it, yeah.
I watched the whole thing the other day because Ronma linked it to me. I thought it was really interesting, though, what he did to be able to finally get into the coding on the chip itself. That he had to take it through another type of decompiler to be able to get the stuff off of. And a lot of really neat in-depth stuff as to just exactly how strong the copy protection was. The Saturn was a really over-engineered machine.
All right. Well, lastly tonight, before we get to the Skype line, I'm not sure how legal this is, but it's certainly fun while it's lasting. How many of you guys ever played the DOS versions of Mega Man? They were not the same as the NES games. They were different. They had different monster bosses, and they kind of weren't very good. Well, somebody is actually trying to remake them. I actually had the first Mega Man DOS game that had three boss monsters in it. That was it. It was limited to three. Well, apparently, somebody has taken it upon themselves to actually remake the Mega Man DOS games. They're packaging them in together to make like one NES-style Mega Man title, and you can actually get it on the Steam Workshop. It is...
Is like a mod, horrific though, for what artwork? Game?
What's that?
Yeah, it did have pretty horrific artwork.
It did have some horrific artwork. It is a add-on for Game Maker Studio, but Game Maker Studio, I believe, is free.
Yeah.
So, or at least I had it in my library somehow, whether it was through a bundle or what have you. So you download Game Maker Studio, and then you can download this as a workshop add-on, and somebody's made like a full 8-bit NES game style that's basically inspired by the DOS games that weren't that great, but I actually downloaded this. I checked out a little bit of it and played it. Even though I could not get it to be any bigger than that tiny, tiny, tiny like window that I think is the native NES resolution. So I have to play around with the settings more to see if I can get it to be bigger. But it was like playing an 8-bit NES game. It was kind of fun. So they did a good job with it, and I wonder how long until Capcom shuts it down, to be honest.
The very very least, it's good to check out the engine, because...
And they made, like, a custom map editor and boss builder and all this stuff in it, too.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool. So you they basically made Mega Man Maker.
That wouldn't be half bad. Although, they did have that for the PSP. It just... I didn't let Darth sell that one. The Mega Man powered up Mega Man or whatever.
Yeah. All right, we're going to open up the skyline at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Meanwhile, we're going to go and see if there's any last-minute stories from Loki, although I kind of doubt it. Do we have any last-minute stories?
There's not much. One thing I was going to mention, that they're going to be releasing Earth Defense Force 4.1 onto Steam. For $49.99 is way too fucking overpriced for that game. Way, way, way too overpriced. So that's not something I'm going to get at launch. Being I have it on PlayStation 4, and I don't really play it a whole ton. It's fun. I like that, and I would be looking forward to like playing it with mods and everything, or playing it with like you know some you know, sort of cheat device or something. But I don't know. $50 seems like it's an awful expensive game. Just wait for it to come down in price, because that is way too expensive for that.
All right, let's get to the phones and take a call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator, what's on your mind, buddy?
Not a whole lot, actually. You know, instead of talking about Steam like I normally do, you know, repeat ad nauseum, I think I'll switch it up and talk about good old games for once. I think I may have mentioned it earlier in the chat, but in case no one noticed. EA has added some new stuff to GOG over the weekend that I think you guys might like, in case you don't have it on God knows what other service. But they have released the original Dead Space to GOG, and I believe the Ultimate Edition of Dragon Age Origins. Chances are everyone is probably... has those games either on console or Steam or
I'd be surprised if you didn't get them in some bundle or an Origin giveaway or something. But yeah, who knows? There may be some folks who missed the boat. It does happen sometimes.
Yeah, or maybe there are probably a few people out there that get really bad case of heebie-jeebies when it comes to anything that has DRM in it. So, hey, if you've been holding off because of DRM, now's your chance to get them. So, and I think temporarily they're, what, either 40% off or 60% off, something like that. But, hey, might as well get them, so, if you don't have them already. So, On that note, speaking of GOG, is there any games that you would like to see on GOG that maybe aren't on there? Like
the original Civilization. I check once a month to make sure it hasn't been added yet. That's the one I most want to see on GOG. As far as like a classic game goes. I do realize they have Colonization, and I think they have Civ 4? They did bring over one of Sid Meier's other games that is kind of underrated, in my opinion, Covert Action, which I really liked when I was younger. And I've talked about it on this show before, but yeah, I would really like to see the original Civilization.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I've seen Covert Action and Colonization listed. In fact, I have Colonization on Steam, but I haven't gotten around to playing yet.
It's good, but it's very different from the other Civ games. But, I mean, it's still at its core kind of one of those, what do they call, the 4X type of games. But there's just some very different mechanics in it where the outcome is very different from a Civ game. But it's fun. I liked it. I enjoyed a Sid Meier game called Railroad Tycoon a little more. That's probably my second favorite. Well, actually, it would be third favorite, because Covert Action is probably my second favorite. Then probably Railroad Tycoon, but it's really close, because I really like Railroad Tycoon. And I would also like to see that on Steam, GOG, anywhere, really. They did do a version of it that was really souped up, I want to say, like, probably about 10 years ago. That's not the version I'm thinking of. Specifically, there was a version around 94, 95 called Railroad Tycoon Deluxe. That's the one I'd like to be able to play again, because I played that when I was younger in high school, and I would like to be able to play that particular version again.
Ah. Well, I'm probably going to let you go, if only because my one cat's if my feet acting up and three things are going, he's going to end up pulling out of the cord. So
that's okay, because these hiccups are driving me bonkers. But thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it, okay?
Yep, you too. Have a nice night.
All right, you too. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
I know this is like kind of weird, but I'm actually going to close the Skype line, and we're going to go ahead and end the show. I'm hurting here with these hiccups, and the more I talk, the more I'm pushing, and I need to stop. So we are going to end the show. So thank you very much for tuning into the show, and if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show and help spread the word. Where Every Gamer Has a Voice, a nice five-star review on a site where you found this show would go an awfully long way. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Dark Sakura.
No. No.
Yes?
No.
Yes?
Cinnabon.
Yes.
Yes.
Loki.
I don't know. I really do need to stop playing Tatami Katamari.
No, you don't.
It's not going to happen, though.
That's the spirit. And my final thought is I'm going to go lie down. Sorry for the awkward ending to the show, but these things happen sometimes on live radio that you can't control. And thankfully, it happened at the end of the show, so at least you get a nice long show nevertheless. But we'll be back in 7 days to do it all again. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.